Your phone's going to be ringing when this episode
drops. Peanut butter and jelly crunch is not the thing. It's beyond me.
This is Susan from General Mills.
Yeah.
This is genius.
We need you.
This is Fred Lancaster.
Fred Lancaster.
Thanks for the shout out. We have a great idea.
Jason, this is the captain.
This is Dan Flair Booty, and listen to Unstable Discourse.
Flair Booty!
Welcome in to episode 12 of season 2 of Unstable Discourse.
All right.
Sure.
And we back, and we back, and
we ain't back. Here. We at Embers. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're back at Embers. We've had a weird schedule. We took some time off.
Indeed.
We did a live episode.
Mm-hmm.
We went back to the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't been to Embers in 2 months, maybe?
2 months.
I'd say somewhere around there.
Has it really been that long?
I bet.
In that range,
Holy crap.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. It's nice to be back, too. And we did it the right way with a fancy cocktail from 933 right across the way.
Absolutely.
The bartender downstairs did look at me and go, podcast? And point with both fingers. And I was like, yeah.
The lady bartender?
So, yeah. So she knew this time. It usually takes her like 20 minutes. That's but today she was like, she was right on it.
Nice.
So you've arrived. We've arrived.
Oh,
we've arrived.
The bartender knows us.
Yeah.
They need a sticker down there and some shirts.
Right.
So everybody knows.
So everybody. If you haven't listened to the show before, just so you know, we are at Embers Tap House in Lockport, Illinois, in the very top of the building in a secret room known as the boardroom, which is across the hall from a little speakeasy called 933. And we have some fancy cocktails from 933. Jason, what are you drinking?
Korean.
Michael?
What was it called?
I don't even remember. Try it again. You're very close.
Japanese sex.
That's
what it was. Yeah.
That's racist. Is that racist?
It was a little racist. We might have to edit both of those words.
Okay.
Nah.
Sheila, do you know what's in the Japanese sex? I know there's coconut rum and a bunch of other really delicious stuff. Let's get that train whistle out of the way. Melon liqueur.
Uh-huh. Pineapple.
There's got to be some kind of coconut
rum.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Long story short, they're super tasty.
Yeah.
And Ryan, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a maple bacon old fashioned. There is a full strip of bacon in this drink.
Yeah.
Literally.
Floating around.
Floating in the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And bacon fat mixed into the...
infused into the bourbon. Yeah, so it's no joke.
So if you're intrigued by these cocktails, make sure you come check out 933. Nick, the bartender, knows what he's doing, man.
That's really good.
These are really cool. All right, let's do some intros. It's your boys, Ryan Fancher of Unstable Disc Golf Gear.
Yes, sir.
Sean Callahan of Delwood Disc Golf.
You better know.
Jason Callahan of Delwood Disc Golf.
Biggity bop.
You've evolved. Now you're of Delwood Disc Golf.
That's true. I've been there long enough that I can be of that.
You're also of Bag of Tricks.
Yes.
Bag of Tricks.
Bag of Tricks. Like B-E-G.
Beg.
That's how you say it. Yeah.
That's how we want you to say it.
That's how we want you to say it.
Beg for it.
He wants you to beg for it.
And surprise, motherfucker. We're also here with Dan Schlitter. This is a historic episode, man. You're the first repeat guest.
We back.
And we back.
You were the first guest, and now you're the first repeat guest.
That's right.
Yep. Dang. Call Lauren. Somebody call Lauren.
Yep.
What time is it?
Damn it.
7:53.
Nice try.
So close.
The name of this episode, which has been hotly debated so far, is Shooting the Schlit. We got a lot of stuff to talk to you about, Dan. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's dive right in.
Of course he is. So we, I hope I'm not the only person in this group who went back and re-listened to the first episode where Dan was on.
Dan, did you do it?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, then you're not the only person.
Okay, cool. Thank God.
I definitely didn't because I don't want to hear us.
It's hard.
A year and a half ago to whatever years. Yeah.
I should have. I had time to do it, but I listened to Smartless. I listened to a different podcast.
Dude, Smartless is so good.
So good.
Recommended. Ryan, I hope you drop a little sample of what we sounded like.
I will.
On episode 2 of season 1.
Let's take us back, everybody.
Welcome in to episode 2 of Unstable Discourse. I'm Alex Seminary. I'm here with Ryan Fancher of Unstable Disc Golf Gear.
Yo.
And Sean Callahan of Delwood Disc Golf.
What up, y'all?
And we have a secret special guest with us today, Mr. Dan Schlitter of Bird Brain and of many other things in the disc golf world. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Hello.
That's our pleasure. So today we're talking
about... Oh my God. That was so crazy.
I can't believe you guys sounded like
you guys.
Oh,
we
God.
Were watching yeah. ourselves in the shop. That was so weird.
Yeah. So weird.
I got the weirdest boner right now.
We have finally perfected the art of time travel.
Also, I wasn't there.
Correct.
Yeah.
Let's get the elephant out of the room real quick.
I was wondering who we were missing.
Yeah. I wasn't there last time.
The energy on the show completely changed once you joined. On that episode, before, you know, all the episodes before you joined, we sounded like we were being forced to do a podcast. Welcome mm-hmm. in to a podcast, I guess.
It's pretty cool.
Sure.
Notice that Alex always says that it changed, not that it got better.
Yeah.
Right. Always
yeah.
says it's it never, changes.
It's never mm-hmm. that it got better.
When you came up.
Yeah.
This is a trip.
It's actually
a trick I learned when I had to write reviews of campers to their parents at mm-hmm. the end of the week, and the kids who were a nightmare. You had to find nice ways to say they were a nightmare. So you'd always say things like, Kevin added a very unique dynamic to the cabin this week. And the mom would be like, that's nice. And she would have no idea that meant Kevin was shitting on everyone's off. Week all week.
Yep.
Little Chody Brogans. Throwback to
Nora Balati.
Dixon stuff.
Nora Balati.
Okay, that's enough. Chit-chat, jibber-jabber.
Mm-hmm.
This show usually starts with a segment called Fired Up.
Fired Up. Bob.
Michael, Michael.
Okay.
Let's start with our guest. Dan, what are you fired up about?
I am fired up about, and when this episode drops, this will be in the past, but I'm super fired up for Friday, September 17th, which we are going to see our boy, your boy, my boy, Gavin Rathbun in the first round
God.
Of the BGPT match play. Yes. I'm super fired up about that. Watch that. Watch him take down the GOAT.
Hell
and,
yeah.
And see how far he can propel himself in that super unique first time that they're mm-hmm. doing this, I'm pretty sure. I think they did yeah. it maybe a long time ago. Wasn't Dana in it at Smuts?
Was it?
I think that was some match play. It was some DGPT final or DGPT playoff, but it's been the first time they've done it anyways in a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm
stoked to see that on
super
camera.
Stoked, fired up to see Gavin yeah. in that, to see it in a whole. But I mean, we got a local boy in it. So it hits yeah. a little different. I'm really excited. I'm wishing him nothing but the best. Obviously, like I said, this will be
yeah, yeah.
6 days past the
right.
actual. But yeah. So hopefully he won. Hopefully he's on the way to the championship yeah. or has won the championship.
Playing Nico first round?
First round.
He plays, I thought he played Macbeth first round.
I read that he played Nico.
Maybe, all right, cool.
I did read.
Well, I wish yeah, he was playing Paul.
Yeah, I read a UDisc article that gave like probabilities for winning the entire match play.
Okay.
It was very surprising odds. Like, well, some of them were obvious. Like Ricky was like just over 50%. Eagle was like 26, you know, percent or whatever. But then guys like Nico and Dickerson, who Dickerson's on a tear, but he was like 0.6% to win.
Whoa.
Like 0.6%. And Nico was like 0.6 or 0.7. Like, which kind of makes sense for Nico. He's like, you know, he's a little hot-headed. And the course doesn't really play into Chris Dickerson's play as much because it's a little more wide open. But Gavin was like almost at 8%.
Wow.
Comparatively. And so I was super stoked to see that.
Okay.
So,
he's hungry. He's he has something to prove.
Absolutely does.
Think about how many new disc golfers are going to see that style of play.
Did you say new or nude?
I heard nude.
How many nude? That is what I said. I meant
okay.
what I said.
Okay.
Nude disc golfers.
Nude disc golfers. Yeah.
Nude disc golfers that uh-huh. are not dressed. With clothing, so they're nude, are going to be seeing match play for the first time.
Yeah,
it's
right.
a format that doesn't get used enough in
not really enough.
I mean,
the tour.
Yeah.
I mean,
there are veterans of the game that were exposed to match play for the first time this year when we did it for tournament director.
That's true. Yes,
that were like, wait, how does it work, Jason?
Jason has a question.
I'm going to ask. How is it different? What's match play?
Dan, take it away,
dude. That's a great question, Jason.
Thank you.
Match play. So you're playing one person. It's head to head. You're playing one person, and okay. all you need to do is win the hole.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter if you win it with a two, you win it with a four. If you shoot less strokes on that particular hole than your opponent, you get the point for that.
Dan,
hole.
You can't say strokes in front
yeah.
of Jason.
Can you say that, but use
throws.
Different words? Because I'm stuck on holes and strokes
disc
and shooting.
Golf.
throws.
It's essentially, it doesn't matter how many throws it takes you to complete the round. Uh-huh. All you have to do is beat your opponent on that particular
on each hole. And so if you lose a hole, you can step up to the next tee box and ignore what had happened because your scores are not cumulative. Like, okay. Each hole is
are,
like,
but the throws right. are not.
Right. So, right.
All
right.
And that's cool.
It gives you the opportunity to play a little bit differently and strategically.
Yep. Sure.
Whereas, if your opponent is laid up right next to the basket, you're going to run that putt to try and at least, tie or whatever, because if you miss, then you're going to lose the hole anyway. Or whereas if you're playing for total cumulative throws, you would want to be concerned about your total score.
I would put it like this. Each hole is its individual round.
Okay.
Mind games. Totally. There's a lot.
There's so many mind games.
I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot. Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Okay.
Cool. We hosted our first match play event this year, and people ate it up, and we're already like, well, we got to do that again next year.
Oh, it's bigger. So good.
It's my favorite way to play. Mm-hmm. It puts pressure on every single hole.
Yeah.
And you can play the most. Jason, calm down.
Pressure on each hole. Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's going to explode.
He had a mouthful of Japanese sex.
Yeah. Yep. Down.
It's good. It's swallowed.
It's a completely different game. You could play the most boring little course, and it would become intense if you mm-hmm. were doing it in match play style.
Absolutely. Yeah. Doing it for the tournament director team challenge, playing in the format that we played, changed the whole game.
Totally.
And it made everything so much more fun and interesting. So I can't wait to see what happens.
I really hope Gavin gets to play Paul, because Paul talked about Gavin last time we hung out with Paul. You guys remember that?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, we hung out with Paul.
No big deal.
He was talking about Gavin being, I didn't know what to expect from Gavin.
He basically, in a really nice way, said that he wasn't worried about him at all.
Well, that's not what he,
it is.
He did, but he said he was a wild card. Because he wasn't used to playing with him.
I thought he was saying the opposite. I thought he was like, anything's, you fear the unknown kind of thing. You took it a different way, though. That's cool. That's cool. I hope they get matched up. That would be such a poetic little evolution in that story.
Yes.
But yeah, go Gavin.
Yeah, go Gavin. Go, 100%.
Go, go Gav. We'll 100%. All be
watching. Our tomorrow. Yes. Your Our last tomorrow,
6 days ago. Yes.
Right.
What time?
I don't know what time it starts. I really don't. Because I imagine if they're doing several matches throughout the day, it'll be staggered. Throughout the afternoon, I'd imagine. So,
Sheila, since you're here, can you look that up? Sheila's the Wikipedia page for all the stuff we talk about.
I'm just going to eat this piece of bacon while I drink Eastern. This.
That's the best 1:50 chaser.
1:50 Central. 2:30 Eastern.
2:30?
2:30. Well, that's crazy. That's when I have to go to the dentist.
It's a dentist's favorite time of day.
Crentist.
Hurty.
Crentist.
Too farty.
Sounds a lot like...
God damn it.
That was 239 funny. Chili beans.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Oh, hi. Hi.
You want to be on a podcast?
Sure.
Come on in.
What do I have to say?
We have a very special random guest that just entered the room. What's your name?
Crystal Dory.
Crystal, what are you fired up about right now?
Yeah, tell us. You can have my fired
I'm
up.
Just like, I'm shocked, like, there's an upstairs bar here. It's really cool here. And there's hidden rooms in here.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
She ain't wrong.
I'm fired up about that.
She ain't wrong.
She ain't wrong.
It's firing me up.
She's fired up about it.
Cool. Nice to meet you.
Awesome.
Nice to meet you.
I'm glad I forfeited mine. That was worth it.
Oh, she's got.
What are we getting? We're getting business cards now.
Oh.
I like to network.
Yeah. Out of a bedazzled fanny pack.
She has a bedazzled fanny pack she's reaching into.
Oh, look at this.
Cards.
And all right. There
we go.
For
unique interiors.
Oh, no, I don't. Jesus Christ.
Look at that. Thank you, Chris.
She's like, what kind of help do you need? I got a card for that.
Awesome.
This segment is sponsored by Crystal Dory, who specializes in unique interiors, cleaning, organizing, decorating, personal assisting, and pet and homesitting, serving Chicago and all the suburbs.
Bedazzled fanny packs, too.
Yep. Thanks for popping in, Crystal.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Have a good night.
Have fun out there.
Thank you.
But not too much fun.
That's my
lock that door.
That's my nightmare.
I gave my fired up to Crystal. Right. That was totally worth it.
Celebrity fired up from Crystal and replace it instead of Jason. Sean, good luck topping that. What are you fired up about?
So spent yesterday and today getting caught up at the house. I was gone on the trip. We're Going to talk about that a ton. Mm-hmm. We were at Sandy Point. Right. Save it for later. So I'm home. I'm getting caught up. I did some yard work. My brother, Nick, huge shout out to my brother, Nick, came by on Sunday and helped out for like 9 straight hours.
Good God.
We pulled out 7 bushes in front of the house with his, like, tied it up to his truck and yanked him right out of the ground. It was awesome.
That sounds awesome.
It was very cool. There was a handicap ramp in the front of our house, because the former owner was handicapped in a wheelchair. We tore that out.
Oh.
We saved large portions of said ramp because I'm going to use them for bridges when I put a course on that bitch.
Oh, man. I thought you were going to say we're going to do bike ramps.
No. Bridges for
you take down any sweet jumps?
Waterways.
You got shocks, pegs, lucky.
For you got like 2 feet of air that time.
But some holes so, on the
to
property.
Bring that story full circle, when we were tell little, me. Nick knocked his front teeth out on a bike ramp that we made out of yes, wood.
Correct.
Yeah. Huh.
Can we continue down this vein for like another 2 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely. Minute. Yeah. I'd rather talk about that than disc golf.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about bike ramps, and we're also going to bring my dad's nuts drink. Back into the show because it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Alex's dad nuts.
Yeah. My dad told me a story when I was younger. We used to do a lot of bike ramps. He was like the younger kid in his group of friends. So all the older dudes would encourage him to do all the dumbest shit and get him all hyped up.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he'd be like,
try it first.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know? Uh-huh. So there was a bike in the neighborhood that the handlebars were just like, they would not stay up. So you'd be riding, they just fall all the way down or backwards.
Sick. And they ride
like,
that bike.
They were like, Tony, take the bike off the ramp. So they convinced my dad. He goes all the way down to the end of the block and comes hauling ass on this. The fucking handlebars are back and forth. He hits the ramp, gets a ton of air, lands. The handlebars, of course, go forward immediately. He falls forward and like bashes his nuts on like the gooseneck of the bike. And like,
oh,
there was blood from the story I've heard. But
oh my God.
They were
nut blood.
Nut blood. But
not just regular blood, but blood from his nuts.
Yes.
Your dad's nuts.
Yeah, but they were fine. He made 3
Clearly.
Kids. He made
You're
3
here.
Kids later.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Shout out to my dad's nuts.
Yeah. Wow.
Look
Damn.
At that. Let's get back on track. The ramps are going to be used somewhere in Delhi, you were saying?
The ramp.
On the property.
No, at his house.
Callahan Acres.
Oh, at your.
When I put holes in, yes.
Your house.
So I will reuse. I recycle things. I don't throw shit away.
Love
Some
that.
Shit I throw away and burn.
We know
but
this.
I keep a lot of shit. Sheila makes me keep a lot of shit. Let's keep it real. So yeah. Fired up about that. Speaking Just got a ton of stuff done. Happy to be home.
It's good to have you back.
Ah, yes.
Speaking of keeping shit, you have 9 baskets of ours at your house.
That's correct.
Let me know when you want me to get those out of your house. Sheila, let me know. Sooner the better?
Sooner the better, for
Sooner
sure.
the better.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that tonight, so you brought it up.
I'm on
Thank
it,
you
dog. Ryan, what are you fired up about?
We'll talk about it later, but I'm fired up about the trip we were just on. I've got a big trip hangover from Sandy Point.
Like you just don't want
like
to get
now
back
you're
to
sad
life.
Because you were so happy for those 7 days.
I cannot get my poop in a group this week, man. I cannot.
You just
Seriously.
Can't find it to care.
No shit's given this week.
You know, there's that one flower that our nose can't recognize, and every time you smell it, it's brand new. You know what that flower is? Do you know which one it is? There's a certain species of flower.
Cauliflower?
No, it's a real thing. But every time you say poop in a group, it's brand new to
new
me
to
every
you.
Time
oh,
you
good.
Say it. I have every... Yeah. single time. My body cannot recognize poop in a group, and he says it, and
you
it's
get,
the
you
funniest
get tickled
thing
all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Absolutely. Oh, my body good. Will not
let that. It's a PG way of saying, that. Get your shit together.
Yeah.
Get your poop in a group.
Yeah, but we'll talk about the trip later, but it was so good that I cannot get it together.
That's good, man. So. You needed it. Both of you needed it.
I definitely did.
You know?
Yeah.
It was a wild ride there for a while, so.
Yep.
That's great.
That's
yeah,
all.
your energy is nice today. It's
it was not 3 hours ago, but it is now.
What was happening 3 hours ago?
No shit's given. Oh. Poops were not in groups, man.
Like, okay. I'm with you.
Cool. But we're good now.
But we are going to hear about the trip. You're going to fill us in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because I am hungry for information there.
If we can talk over Crystal out there, because I can hear her out there yelling.
I think someone's vacuuming. I hear a vacuum.
Do you have anything you want to ask me, Ryan?
Hey, Alex.
What's up?
Are you fired up about it?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just fired up about, a couple of things, but the top of the list right now is fantasy football. It's back. I am in way too many leagues. I'm in 5 leagues, and one of them...
That's 4 too many. That's 5 too many.
Yeah.
It's too many, but they're all hard to say no to. There's a cool group of people in each one.
So hard
the Disc Golf Chicago League just
to
started.
Say goodbye.
Michael!
To fantasy.
You want to cry?
Put it up.
Yeah.
Teared up right now.
A little bit.
Disc Golf Chicago Fantasy Football League is what I'm most excited about. We got a bunch of like people of interest in the league. So we got the Paul McBeth Foundation guys. We got Zach and Dustin. Ryan Miller, Caddy Disc Golf. Ever heard of him?
Nice. He cute.
Like we got Jeremy Burrell, the captain of the Chicago Union Ultimate Frisbee team, who I think just played the championship, like the national championship, actually. If not, they're about to do that.
Ah.
They made it to the championship. I don't know if they won yet, but they made it at least.
Cool.
Sick.
Then there's a bunch of Disc Golf Chicago like leadership guys, and I'm missing Zach Finwall is in the league as well. It's just a solid group of people. Another reason to hang out and talk with disc golfers. So
sure.
It's exciting. I love it, and I'm excited that it's finally back. Takes Dope. Too long in between seasons. So.
Cool. I wish I cared about that stuff because I would throw down, but I don't know enough.
I don't like to donate that willingly.
Yeah, I don't know enough. I would just be like, I don't know. What do I do?
Being a baseball fan, I love the numbers games. I love the analytics. I love all of
that's
that.
That's what I'm
except
into as well.
Every time me and my neighbors and, you know, we would all get together and watch a football game and they don't even know what's happening because they're on their phone.
It's a problem.
And it's like, you know what? Yeah. Can you just be in the moment and watch the
Michael
game?
Remember when we just used to watch this?
Yeah, so that's why I don't like it.
Well, anymore. Yeah, it's I don't think fantasy football is necessarily for football fans because I didn't really give a shit about football before I started playing. I just did it because it was something to get involved with, and I was like, maybe
you weren't a football fan prior,
so it worked
almost none at all.
Oh, that's crazy!
And I still don't really care. Yeah. Like, literally, after the fantasy football season ends, there's still the whole football playoffs and championship. And
you don't care.
I unsubscribe from all
the
football.
That's when I do give a shit.
I do kind of want to watch, but I also don't really care. Like, I'm in it because I love gambling and I love the strategy of like figuring out the stats and who's going to be a good play. And that's the part that makes it really fun for me. So for that reason, I don't even really care about teams. I just like to root for specific players that I've got on my teams.
Yeah,
I get it.
And yeah, it got me to start kind of liking football. But yeah, if I try to have
what's
a conversation
what's
with
Chicago's,
like,
it's the Bears, right?
It's the Bears.
Yeah. Right? If I try to have a football conversation with Ryan Miller, Caddy Disc Golf.
Oh, no.
It's evident immediately that I know nothing and he knows everything. And I'm just going like, oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. That's why I steer clear of that shit.
Yeah. It is what it is. It's fun. It's what I'm fired up about.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move it along. You know what happens next? Dan, do you know what happens next?
No.
It's time for the old Calendar Rundown.
You better know.
Oh, that's
this
nasty.
This time around. Callahelander Rundown. I don't even know what this is. Probably like the latest summer edition you can imagine because it's going to be fall by the time this comes out. Like, you're going to hear this episode and it'll be cold outside, probably.
I mean, it's 5 days from fall.
I don't know if I'm ready.
Wow.
It's going to rain.
35th Shanahan Classic. The event is on Saturday and Sunday, September 25th and 26th. So by the time you hear this episode, it will be the following weekend.
It will be.
It will be tomorrow when you hear this episode. So if there are still spots, which I will probably tell you 4 more times on Facebook between now and then that there is spots, make sure you scoop them on discgolfscene.com. After that, we have, tomorrow. So past tense Friday. I love that we do this because it's like Back to the Future every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow it will go live. That will be the past tense. So by then, all of you will be signed up for J-Town Championships. It's going live tomorrow, Friday, September 17th. The event is on October 16th and 17th. We decided to chop that down to 2 days. It's no longer a 3-day B tier. Enough is enough, guys. Come on. 2 days is enough.
Come on, Pete.
We were jeez. But I will probably do a flex start on the Friday. We discussed that last episode.
Yes, we did.
I will do that because I've said it enough times that I am convinced of it. Here's something else new for the Callahelander.
Oh.
The delis. You've probably heard this mentioned a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I get so excited when you bring up the delis.
We have decided that this is going to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It will be on Friday, November 5th. I still need to send the contract back to the Roxy in Lockport, which is where it will be located.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We do need to. My only fear is finding out how many people can attend,
which can change between now and then.
Yeah. Which could change. So we'll see. Hopefully, that number is very high because it's just going to be a big ass end of the year party,
mm-hmm.
where it will be like open bar and food, and everybody in local disc golf will be there. Mm. And we're going to do some awards and live music. I believe Doc is talking to legend.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Legend. Yeah, of course, the Chili Peppers. I think he just no big deal.
Yeah.
Brian Cummings, the legend. Ryan Cummings is a DJ, and he expressed some interest in working with us in some way, shape, or form.
Dude, sit down. What are you jumping around the room for? God,
relax, Ryan. It's just Brian Cummings.
Go ahead.
Jason, Indiana's you're not going to say anything?
No. No, I got my dick and fart jokes earlier.
So super excited about that.
Oh, Cummings.
Don't act like you...
Calm down.
Calm down. That hit your radar immediately.
It did.
I shouldn't have even said it.
Dance in the room.
Brian C's. Brian C's.
B's and C's.
B's and C's.
Oh, now they know what the C's are. Way to go. Now they just have to figure out the B's.
They didn't.
Calm down.
There was room for...
So the delis. We don't know when it will be live, but it will be something that you will sign up for on discgolfseat.com. Come on,
come
Pete.
Come on, Pete.
Come on, Pete.
So yeah, it'll be a big-ass party. It'll be cool. We will give you more details between now and some time.
Will there be a dress code?
I'm going to think that it is like you're going to get something that you will wear that will probably look fancy, but won't be. Like a tuxedo t-shirt.
Tuxedo t-shirt, right.
Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a cravat around your
neck.
But
it's definitely like you want to have the brand new J's on. You know what I'm saying? Like you're going to be rocking some freshies. You're going to be rocking some freshies. This is a big deal. I'll tell you where the idea came from real quick. Back in the day, I worked for Zoomies. If you're familiar with Zoomies,
That's where I bought my sneakers.
Zoomies used to do the coolest thing in the world for their employees. It was called 100K. And if you did 100,000 or more in sales as a salesperson or a manager, you went 200K. And 100K was a big-ass party they threw for you out in Colorado, snowboarding, meet pros, huge-ass party, drinks, the whole deal. I mean, you stay nuts, totally nuts. And I always thought it was the coolest thing that I had ever done. So it's like, I want the delis to be like 100K. Everybody who's everybody's going to be there.
But there's no prerequisite. Or is it an invite-only thing?
No, this is like, it's going to go live, set your alarms because you want to be there because it's going to be dope. So you better be there.
Are we buying tickets to go?
100%. Discgolfscene.com. Because
I was going to say, that would make it probably way better.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's going to cost.
Yeah.
It will cost.
Good.
But I will turn your dollars into sick shit.
Sick shit.
Yeah. Guaranteed. 100% all the time.
That's amazing.
So that, and then also, I'm sure that in September, or excuse me, December, we will do the ugly sweater again. That was fun. We did it last year. We talked about a possible player pack item that you came across
that is
the other day.
Completely unreasonable.
That we will 100% do if they're available.
They are available and they are $1 billion.
I don't care.
Yeah, okay.
We're doing it. So that's the only reason why we will do it is because of those.
Okay, it's going to cost every player $120.
We'll figure it out, guys. Okay. Don't worry about it. Discgolfscene.com. Sure. Come on, Pete.
Come on, Pete.
Thanks, Pete. It's a hell of a Cal Hollander rundown, by the way.
Well, what do you want?
This man knows how to run down a Cal Hollander. I'll tell you what.
Talk about all the people that you met at 100K.
Oh, God. Too many to name.
I know.
Too many to name. Bam Margera. Like, this is at the peak of Bam Margera being
Michael,
a nutball and like
golden era.
He meets him.
Golden era of Bam Margera. So, tons of that.
It was the Bam Margera.
Bam Margera. I just rewatched all the old Jackass movies the other day, and like it took me back to a simpler time.
To ramp up to the new one?
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. But there's some like weird controversy stuff going around the new one. They like cut Bam out, and now he's trying to sue sue MTV, and
Or
he's trying to sue the producers, anyways. But
Ryan Dunn, rest in peace. That's all that matters. Dunn, rest in peace.
Every time he was on screen, I was just like so bittersweet. Like he was
awesome. Like the people's person of that group. That like you felt like you knew that dude because you
everybody
knew
else
that
is crazy.
Guy.
Yeah,
he was the Ryan normal was guy that amazing. Was just like. Yeah.
I thought I saw something or heard something over the last couple weeks that they have like accumulated the Jackass crew somewhere in the neighborhood of like $20 million in like medical bills or hospital bills.
That sounds all right.
And just like thinking about it, it doesn't seem high enough for all the stuff that they've done and all of them. It's just like, wait, that's it?
Yeah. Dude, $20 million in medical bills could be like two or three accidents in America.
That's Steve O's stitches.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. What about the rest of them? Back to life for the 10th time.
Yeah. Clear.
Okay. That was a weird divergence.
That was very weird.
Nothing weird about any
cutting
of
a lot of that.
That's
out.
Good.
Come on, this is gold.
All right, let's get into the local.
Wait, what kind of drink do we have?
Bourbon.
Yeah,
bourbon whiskey,
and a pineapple White Claw. Local route shoutouts. Ryan, I know you got one.
I got one.
Go on.
I didn't have one until this afternoon. I have not been able to get my shit together as we had stated
what
earlier.
What was that?
Sorry, poop in a group?
Thank you.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, it was like I held in a sneeze.
Wait, it hurt?
That didn't feel right.
Yeah. But out of nowhere and for no reason, a guy that we all know and love, Michael Jacobson, has a group that is called the Energizer Syndicate. Energizer.
Energizer
Syndicate. Mm-hmm. He does some really cool stuff. He's just a dope guy to hang out with. He plays all our tournaments, and he's a fellow screen printer, so we talk a lot. He's got some really dope gear and hats and things like that that he runs, and he's got some really cool like slap stickers that he's always coming up with. And
when I hear his name, I see colors. Purple and Deglo.
Totally. Absolutely.
I literally see colors when I hear his name, and that's how I remember
that
his,
means he's built a brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. How you do it?
He's great. So out of nowhere, he just posted up my Unstable logo and did a little blurb about Unstable and myself and, you know, what I do, and that he remembered that I at some point had talked to him about how my daughter loved to watch The Legend of Korra, which was really out in left field. But he found a place that did these pins with Korra, and he got her a pin to give to me, to give to her, just to say thanks for everything that I do and Unstable Disc Golf does.
Dude.
And he put up a post about it, and it was like, that hit me hard. Like, you don't have to do that.
Is it
like
anime?
Yes.
For all of the regulars?
Yeah,
that's
like the Avatar. Right? Like, it's a huge deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And my daughter, being 5 years old, probably shouldn't be into that yet, but she's way into it, so it's great.
Airbender, not...
Yes.
Right.
Blue.
Not blue.
Giants.
But he posted that up completely unprompted, several layers of things that he didn't have to do, and that was awesome. So that kind of brought my week around. So thanks, Mike. He knows. I don't have to say it, but that was cool. So that's my... That's my shout out. Local
He's
route.
Cool. That's great.
Mike,
you must
great.
Have done it the right way, because you don't seem repulsed by somebody.
Oh, I hated it.
Somebody giving you acknowledging you're doing a good job.
I did
and like
hate
saying
it.
Thank you.
I did.
Usually you're like crawling in my skin.
Yeah.
See him sitting at his computer reading it and just vomit, just pouring.
Yeah,
out of
I
mouth
threw up in my mouth
chest,
a bunch.
Scrolling. Yeah.
But once I got over that, I did
it's
appreciate
sixth
it.
Sense when yeah, she's yeah, yeah. Bed, she yeah. yeah.
I'm feeling better.
Shout
you
out.
Want to see where my
shout out Michael
is going?
Jacobs, and that's
yeah,
Mike's awesome.
School. Yeah.
Sean?
Yes, sir.
You got a local route?
I do. My local route is my very close group of friends. We call ourselves the Early Birdies.
Mm.
And those are the people that go on the trip. So this is the part where we talk about the trip now.
I know them. Yep.
So the Early Birdies are comprised of, if you don't know, here they are: Donnie Longton.
Lil Doan.
Lil Doan.
Lil Doan.
Mm-hmm. Lil Doan. Eat them donuts up. Joe Ropo, my little brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's Korean. Don't be confused. He's adopted. It's a thing. Ryan Fancher, who is here in the room with us right now.
That's me.
And Fanny. Myself.
Fanny yep. Pack.
So
not
we,
Korean.
Not Korean.
Not he is not. Caucasian, as am I.
Mm-hmm.
We go on the trip. Here's a little backstory. Last year, SP9.
Our
spine.
Ninth year going on the trip. My sixth year, their ninth year.
We missed the mark.
How does
by
that?
By a lot. There's an expectation when we go on this trip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are things that we do. There are traditions that we do. There are, we've talked about it a bit. Last year, we missed the mark. We came home last year, and all four of us were like,
that wasn't it.
That wasn't it, man. What happened? What
Something,
did we do?
Right.
So we stayed in a different cabin last year. It is the only time that we collectively, as the four of us, have not stayed in the cabin that we did return to
Correct.
In the 10th year.
Yeah.
Which is Stikeen, cabin number 6.
We decided to treat ourselves last year, the year before this last
yes.
one, get a bigger cabin, and that proved to be the incorrect choice.
Correct.
Mm.
So we got back on track with the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, there are a lot of things that we do. There is a challenge book. There are senior photos that we take that I have posted to Facebook that uh-huh.
everybody
Those
seems
so to
really
great. Like. Uh-huh. This year, we buried a time capsule out on the property.
No.
We did.
That is to not to be...
You can't tell us what's in the time capsule?
Nope.
You can't
tell us where it is either.
Mm-mm.
We'll tell you in 10 years.
Yep.
So there were many things that we needed to do in order to get the juju back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. Hard.
We did really hard.
Really hard. We put all the effort in, all the heart. The traditions were so right on this
mm-hmm.
year. It was incredible.
Yeah,
I'm
it was perfect.
More jealous right now than... Every time you guys talk about this, I get jealous.
Yeah.
But now it's like...
One of them was strange because we had put up an Early Birdies plaque that I had made out of a very weird, crazy wood that I found. And it was a circular
Bubinga.
Plaque. It was not Bubinga. It was
Chuchinga.
Sapili.
Chuchinga.
No. Incorrect. It was Sapili, which is an African mahogany. Anyway, I made a plaque. And a few years ago, we had hung it up in the gorge of hole 11 on a tree. Joe climbed on Donnie's back and put it up high enough where nobody could reach it. Since then, several people had commented on, that they had seen it, and it was great. But sometime between the last trip and this
I think it was just, one, early August because it was actually Clay Bielfus that sent me a photo of Stu holding it out in front of the pro shop.
The tree that it was hanging in had fallen. And so through nobody's fault, the plaque came down.
That's what God wanted.
And somebody knew. Ja knew
that we had fucked up the year before and he said, "Listen, I'm giving early birdies.
I'm giving you a chance to redeem yourself.
Get your poop in a group,
get
man.
Get your poop in a group, man."
So with
brand new.
Yeah.
Every time. First time.
With the help of the groundskeeper and our good friend now Stu, who is amazing, we went up and we put it in a new spot and it couldn't be in a better spot. And it like putting it in there and getting down and looking at it and knowing that it's going to be there
the
for a long time.
The sun was shining on it.
It was
we'll post the photo.
It was perfect.
In the photo.
A moment. Yeah. Ah, I felt it just now.
So everything was right in the world once we did that and the trip was great.
Joey won.
Huge
shout out to Joey.
Do you have a Joey? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have a Joey?
Mm-hmm.
He almost had a walk-off ace on the last hole.
He did. He was 2 inches skip aced. I mean, it hit the cage, top of the cage.
Him and Ryan went into the final round, which was a condensed 18-hole layout at Sandy Point, which is 27 holes.
Oh.
Saturday morning, we leave on Saturday, so it was like, let's pack, let's get in 18 holes, we'll call it a day, we'll hit the road. And they went into that round tied. He ended up shooting 6 down. Ryan shot even or something like that. Some trash.
Garbage.
You can't play that well.
Sounds
some
right,
trash.
Yeah.
So then Joey took the win.
It was great.
The medal point because he hit metal to get almost ace.
Let's put this in perspective.
Yeah.
Ja knew that we had done well enough because we came up with a thing.
Now, here's the thing. Let's really dive in.
Okay.
Ja is someone that we talked to on the trip.
Oh, constantly.
That is the thing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ryan.
We came up with a thing called bounties this year where we each bought $25 worth of $1 scratchies. And if there was a tough shot that, you know, like, scramble for par. If you get the par, I got a $1 scratchy bounty on it. Bounty, right?
So dope.
But you had to say it.
Yeah.
But you had to say it with an Australian accent. So it was always bounty.
Bounty.
Right, like that, right?
Unless Joe said it.
And then he said it like, bounty.
Bounty.
Yeah.
Joe said an Australian accent.
But there were bounties that we were giving out constantly. And it went beyond disc golf. It was like, hey, Joe, if you eat this pizza with pineapples and grape jelly and ranch on it, we'll give you a bounty.
Which he will do.
He'll do every single time.
Every single time.
So we gave out bounties during the whole week. And we had scratchies for CTPs and all sorts of things. So we spent about $125 in scratchies, okay?
Wow.
So at the end of the trip, we hadn't given out all the bounties, so we divvied them up, scratched the hell out of them, and got about $97
back on
between all
back,
the scratchies.
Yeah. Back on
from the $125.
Almost broke even.
So
almost broke even.
We added $3 to that thanks to Little Doan, went back in and got 5 of the largest scratchies
the $20
I've ever
ones.
Seen. They're $20. They're 8.5 by 11. They're huge. Scratched them off and won another $100 and then divvied it back up. So Ja knew. And was just giving it right back.
If you don't believe that things happen for a reason, get your poop in a group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Funny.
Ryan's so
it only
everybody,
has the effect when he says it. That was weird. No. I felt like I'd heard
every year the offering. We've talked about the offering.
Yeah.
This was probably I don't want to say funnest part of the trip, but I was really stoked. So we did the offering, right?
Yep.
I got everybody personalized early birdies Heiser racks. Shout out to Shannon Berry Hill Heiser rack.
Ridiculous.
With a little,
that's,
like,
and
that's,
wait.
And
that's
wait
too
for
much.
It.
It was the 10th year, baby. We got to go hard.
Right.
Right? So we got Heiser racks.
Call me baby. It's a, it's
and
a
then
10th year, baby.
I also got everybody Bushnell rangefinders.
What the?
It's your 10, man. Come on. So
baby. Wow.
Here's the thing, though. Here's
you best
thing.
Believe
the
that the whole time we were just like, hey, Joey, how far is her ass?
Yeah.
119 feet.
Did it make you feel like this reminds me of when Michael gives the iPod and
that's what these assholes said. Let me explain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I reached out to Shannon and I said, dude, I hope this is enough time. It was ample time, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, I don't know when I can get those. So my, you know,
the first plan
A was Heiser racks. And then he was like, I don't know. And I was like,
Michael,
I got to get something.
Yeah.
Because last year I didn't do very well or year before there was something I was supposed to get and I didn't and totally screwed up. So yeah. I got the Bushnell rangefinders and then Shannon was like, hey man, we could work it out. And I was like, oh geez, I just brought the iPad to the Secret Santa.
It's cool because it tells people how much you love them. Exactly. Dollar amount.
It was a dollar amount.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
It was a great year.
A great year. Great trip.
So wow.
Using those rangefinders all over. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Bushnell.
The demand to go to the Northwoods, I think, gets bigger every year. Everybody who hasn't gone hears about it. My whole crew is like, okay, we're definitely going next year. We're sick of not going. That's the plan for sure.
We'll talk to Dan about it in a minute, but he feels the same way, I'm sure.
Yeah, you were up there too, right?
Not with the early birdies, but I was there the week before for the Northwoods Open.
Was there jelly on your pizza or anything like that?
Not quite. Not quite.
I'm sure you did nice things too, though.
Did your friends buy you a Bushnell rangefinder?
No, didn't get any gifts.
Did you get a giant blanket with your picture on it?
Oh, little don'ts. Oh, my God. Because
we did.
You guys are making blankets. Me feel we got absolutely customized, terrible about
right.
my
I need better friends, right?
Customized four photos printed, and then in the middle, our logo. Blankets. I'm not talking like little like beach bullshit.
Like quilts.
I'm talking like...
Like Sherpa blankets.
Blankets. Damn. Sherpa blankets.
Dope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man. It was sick.
Yeah. That's a lot.
It's like Christmas. Yep.
Before we move on to the next shout out, I want to do two mini shout outs. One to Clay Bielfus, you just mentioned.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
He just wrote a review for the show, which puts him in the running to win a free massage.
Good for Clay.
Thank you, Clay.
Rooster.
And also shout out to Mike and Michelle Cousins.
Yeah.
They helped to sponsor, they sent us stuff for the Chicago Disc Golf Expo.
Oh, cool.
So we had like Sandy Point playing cards and shot glasses and hats and some books that Michelle had written. And discs that like they sent us a bunch of stuff to like, you know, auction off. And it was like so cool. It added a very personal element to the event. And hopefully when we do this again next year, I want them to come down and set up a booth and say, hey, if you love disc golf, this is the ultimate disc golf vacation.
Great people. They should do that.
Very cool. So shout out to those guys.
Although they don't need much advertising because that place.
That's what she told me. She was like, hey, we'll support you guys, but like we are slammed. Like we could not handle
anybody
business.
My name.
Yeah.
Get out of my inbox.
Get out of my inbox, though. Okay. Jason, do you
follow
have a
that up.
Route?
Yeah, go I got ahead. Nothing.
Good. No? Moving okay. on.
Nothing.
Go.
Moving on.
Can you just make one up?
Oh, shout out to Fred Lancaster.
What did Fred do?
It's funny you should say that.
You know how Fred is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, let's just leave it at that. Because if you don't know Fred, then. You know.
Oh, Fred.
Oh, my
if
God.
If we open the whole Fred can of worms, we're never going to get out of here.
Yeah. Right? We got to give Dan some time to talk. Okay. We're not going to get into Fred right now.
Okay. Fred, shout out, man. Always a pleasure to hear about
Dan,
Fred.
Follow that up.
Yeah. Dan, do you have a local route shout out?
I have a local
real route or imaginary?
No, this is super real, and it's a page turner. But like, for those who don't know, I lost my dog recently. It's super sad. But the coolest thing happened last week. It was on Friday, I believe. For those who don't know, the Parkings Club. Mm-hmm. One of the guys who runs it, his name is Sean Pitts. His wife Gianna, as well as a local J-Town Club member Adam Berkovic.
Oh, yeah.
They both actually work at the memorial place where they did my dog's cremation. So they kind of went behind my back, did a little memorial paw print to kind of match the colors of her fur and everything.
Come on.
He hand-delivered it to me last week at Doubles League, and it was like...
Bro. Now I'm crying.
It was the first time I've honestly had happy tears regarding the whole situation. It was honestly one of the coolest moments, one of the kindest gestures that... anyone in the disc golf community has ever given me in any situation. And that has just been on the top of my mind ever since he did that. It's just one of the coolest things and kindest things that has ever lightened up my day in a darker time. So I just want to give Sean, Gianna, and Adam and everybody else that had anything to do with that just all my love and all my shout outs. I like to keep my emotions to myself, and they allowed me to kind of be a little bit more vulnerable and kind of just celebrate that a little bit more. So they absolutely went above and beyond with things that they did not have to do to make a darker situation way lighter. So just big, big, big shout outs to them. Much Huge. Love. I cannot thank them enough for that.
That's amazing. Jeez.
Yep.
I had no idea that Sean's wife worked with Adam.
It was a complete coincidence because when everything was happening, you know, I didn't want to talk to anybody about it.
No, of course.
But he reached out and just said, hey, if you don't mind me asking, like, what, you know, where are you having her cremated, all the details. And I was just like, why the hell are you asking?
Yeah.
But then he got to the point. Yeah. He got to the point. He's just
mind
like,
your
well,
own business.
Well, he's like, well, my wife and Adam work at the place where this will likely be taking place. Dude. And it just, you know, to have that come full circle, to have
and
those
Brian Espinosa.
Yeah, that's right. I thought I was missing somebody. Three Brian Espinosa too. Mm-hmm. it was just something that has really not moved me that way before. Mm. And I'll never mm. ever forget the gesture that those
wow.
those all went to.
That's
to
incredible.
That. So yep. big thank you to those guys.
No words, man. That's amazing. Yeah. Shout out to all those people. And
That's our
I mean, it's just a super big cheers to kind of go with the amazing people we have in that in our community. Is just, you know, that's something I never would have ever expected, but I am not surprised whatsoever because of the great people we have in our community.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah,
just that's where my local route's going.
Damn,
He did follow it up.
You did.
Yeah,
you followed that up hard,
Michael.
Fred. Don't let him hear that you said that.
Dude. Right? Yeah, that's the part we might need to know. Yeah. Fred will be up your ass.
Okay, I want to do a real quick shout out to somebody I have not met in person yet, as far as I know. Corey Etter, E-T-T-E-R.
I don't know that
Corey
name.
Is working on revitalizing a disc golf course at the YMCA near... It's on the north...
Young man.
Corey.
You are doing a good job.
I said, Corey. Something, something, shout out. Corey's working on revitalizing this course. And the cooler thing, you know, beyond that is he's working directly with the YMCA to try to develop a kids league and or some kind of kids programming that could be replicated across other Ys. And the Y is, to me, a really cool opportunity to, like, take disc golf to kids in a national way. They have all the facilities. They have the network. They have, like, I think it's easier to go through something like the Y than, like, schools, which are all fragmented.
Oh, for sure.
I was on the phone with Corey at, like, 11 p.m. last weekend, just throwing ideas out there, and he's all about it. He's, like, he's pulling people together. He's trying to make that course legitimate, and he's got a lot of cool ideas on how to make disc golf, like, even more accessible to kids, which I think everybody is down with. So
where is this at? Did you already say? I'm sorry.
It's in the northern burbs. I think it's like near Crystal Lake.
Wisconsin.
Are you involved? I feel like he mentioned your name.
Not that I know of.
It's like, wait.
Maybe I'm crazy.
Maybe
Google
it was
calendar.
Fred. Was it Fred?
It might have been Fred.
Okay.
Michael's Fred.
No. If you're not involved, I feel like he might be coming to talk to you.
Cool. Spoiler alert.
he seems like a very
just
like
spoiler
dedicated
alert
guy.
Your life. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I just blew the whole surprise. I could be wrong, by the way. Information is in one ear and out the other with me so often.
Yeah.
But he seems very serious about what he's working on, and the potential is there. So I want to help. I don't know quite how I can yet, but
it
I want
100
to.
100 miles away.
It's what?
Crystal Lake is.
It's a little trip. Little trip. I can't be out there regularly, but I can help develop concepts and like.
Yeah, sick.
Love to hear what he's doing. And I think the potential there is just super dope. And I've been thinking about like a disc golf day camp for a while. And I feel like
I've got it, by the way.
You've got
Let's
one.
Give a shout out to C O R Y. It's the R. I don't know how to make the R.
Just one. Just one. R.
Oh, in what world is that an R?
Please.
Little R. Oh, it's the little R.
He just did like a genie lamp. He was a little teapot for a second.
If I'm a little teapot, is this an R?
Yeah.
I feel short and stout.
I don't think it was a bad effort for like.
Don't get me steamed up.
All right, that was ridiculous. Shout out to you, Corey. Good luck with everything you're developing, and let us know if we can help.
Looking forward to speaking with you, Corey.
Yeah. If
or you, not. Or not.
Yeah, or not. Either way. Either it will happen or it won't. Either way. All right, before we get into the... I'm kind of sick of meat and potatoes.
The reason why we're here.
Yeah. Before we get to the main schlit, let's say a couple nice things about our sponsors.
Okay.
First and foremost... Unstable disc golf gear.
Oh, cool.
You love that, right?
Yeah, my favorite.
Let's get the awkwardness out of the way.
I nominate Jason.
To talk about
unstable
disc golf gear?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Let me back up a little bit.
Back that thing up.
So, Ryan Fancher.
Oh, cool.
Sits in his basement.
This is
naked.
Thinking about every single one of you and what your needs are and how he can fulfill them. If you have holes in your life, he wants to fill them with his goods and services. So let Unstable Disc Golf Gear fill your holes and make you feel better live better, and play better. None of those are what the thing is. Is it?
Look good, feel good.
Look good, feel good, play good. That's what I meant to say.
Try again.
So close.
Try again.
So he can make you look good, feel good, and play good.
Well, so the great thing about the way he did that was he just took like the vibe from the rub, which I know you also hate.
My favorite.
Combined that with talking about you, which you also hate. That's
exactly how he wants his brand described.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Filling holes.
Truly a magnificent
t-shirts and hoodies.
Hats, hoodies, clipboards,
gear,
socks.
Gear.
How can you make the word gear sexy?
Gear.
That sounded like ancient aliens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ancient alien theorists say yes.
There are holes to be filled.
There are holes to be filled.
All right.
Puma.
Yeah. Thank you to Unstable Disc Golf Gear. Look good, feel good, play good. You can pick up all their stuff at the Delwood Disc Golf Shop or on unstablediscgolfgear.com.
You would think that the shop is actually called Unstable Disc Golf Gear Pro Shop. That's how much shit we got in there.
Is it too late to change the name?
No, never.
I don't know. Sheila? No. No, she says no. We're good.
Answer is no.
What about like a Dell Stable? You could
Dell Stable
Unwood.
This sponsor segment,
great.
WOULD.
What do you mean everyone just pulled their sponsorship?
Yeah, right.
Sorry, Pete. AO the Mortgage Pete, Pro, you paid for your sponsorship in advance. There's no turning back.
There's no turning back.
And on that note,
AO.
Shout out to AO the Mortgage Pro. He is our favorite disc golfing mortgage broker, and he is your go-to contact for any mortgage questions. If you want to buy a home now, next month, or even next year, give him a shout out. He'll walk you through the entire process so you know what steps to take, and he'll get you pre-approved in minutes. If you already own a home, hit him up for your annual mortgage review to see how you can save money both monthly and long-term. He can even help you use the equity in your home to free up cash for renovations, paying off debt, or investing in new discs or tournaments. He's super down to earth. He loves taking care of the disc golf community, and you can ask many of the people he has already worked with. You can find him on the course or any social media platform at AO the Mortgage Pro. And wait for it. Mention Unstable Discourse, and you'll get a free travel basket after closing.
Damn.
What?
Do it.
Dang. Never get sick of telling people about that. That's such a great offer.
Mm-hmm.
Travel basket.
I actually have to hit up Andy soon. I'm still doing this flip-flop thing about, are we going to buy a home? Are we going to deal with the market or not? But I should just go get pre-approved anyways in case I'm like, why not?
Absolutely.
It's the second time we're talking about it. It
takes no time. It's so easy. And I will, if I stumble across a home I just need to have, I'll be ready to go. Thank you, AO Mortgage Pro.
Ew.
All right, it's time now for the meat and potatoes of this episode. Time to shoot the schlit.
Shooting the schlit.
And we're going to talk for 15 seconds about the other names for this episode that we had. Jason.
Schlitter's full.
Sean.
Dan Schlitter. God, I hope you like me.
he didn't tell us that one, but I guess it was there.
Yeah,
that was Ryan.
Schlit just got real.
Schlit just got real. Talking schlit was another
Talking
one.
Schlit.
There's just so many ways you can go with it.
You guys are giving me my next 5 years of stamp ideas. So
We got you.
Why does it say, God, I hope you like me?
Who's me?
Are you talking about God? Is this religious?
Where do you go from good schlit, though? Mm-hmm. That's such
Schlitters.
A good,
yeah. Good luck.
Full.
I guess.
With Dan
are you kidding me?
Standing in the driveway with
if
the hose.
If you don't
ending.
Release a disc with an RV and you standing in front of it and it says Schlitter's full, I'll kill you. You have to do it.
I'll kill you. He suggested
Schlitter's
it in
full.
All caps about five times.
Five
in
times.
Chat.
At least.
Are you kidding me?
It's brilliant.
It's a reference to National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I know where
comes
from.
If you didn't know, for the viewer.
But
the
I'm upset that that's what my death certificate is going to say. Why I died.
Yeah.
Because I did not do a Schlitter's full tour series.
You're dead. Guess what? You're dead.
Yeah.
By the hand of Jason Callahan.
I'll do it. Don't threaten me with a good
wearing
time.
Wearing his cool-ass hand-eye supply hat right now, I just realized.
And an unstable.
Look at you.
Damn.
Disc
look at you.
Fresh. Unstable
look
open three t-shirt.
I want one of those.
Wow. Yeah. Non-disc golfer wearing disc golf gear.
All right, let's get this on the road. So we decided shooting the schlit was a really good way to frame this because there's like a dozen things we want to talk to you about.
Sweet.
You've done a lot of cool stuff. You've been involved in a lot of cool projects. What are you dying to talk to Dan about the most, Sean?
Ooh, the thing that I brought up was that I would like to talk to you about, we spoke about it before the show, your sponsorship with Discraft, and then we will see where that conversation goes because I have more questions and or comments.
Good one.
Your sponsorship with Discraft. You've been sponsored by Discraft for a minute, right?
It's just been just about over 3 years. Sandy Point, my first time at Sandy Point in 2018 was my first tournament as a Discraft-sponsored player. So it's been just over 3 years, but technically this is my fourth season with Discraft.
So the sport's been growing. Their brand has been growing. You've been growing. So obviously they're still seeing everything they see from you. They're liking. They're still happy to
have. How can they not?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you approach them or were they like, Dan, can we put our name on you, please? How did it work?
That's it's an awesome question because the relationship kind of started off in a mutual way. I went to Amateur Worlds in 2017. I played with a gentleman from Iowa who was on their ambassador team. His name is Brandon Timper. Mm-hmm. Awesome, awesome guy. I played with him 4 out of the 7 rounds at Am Worlds. I got to know him, a little bit about his family. I met his son, Robbie, who played baseball. So we would play catch when we weren't playing. Oh, I wasn't playing around with his dad.
Mm-hmm. So and then simultaneously, you both handed each other a note that said, do you like me? Circle yes or no.
In different ways than that. Okay. Yeah, that's right, exactly right. Okay. What happened.
Sure.
No, he showed me.
Oh, my
God.
Did you ever do that? When you were and then she writes in maybe and circles that and sends that shit back. That ever happened to you?
What was the maybe?
Why
about?
Don't you say it into the microphone, you lunatic?
No, but
he's
close.
Been with the same girl since he was like 3 years old. So yeah. Remember.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But the cool thing, like, and she'll hate me for this if she ever listens to this, but when I did ask her to be my girlfriend at the ripe age of 13,
mm-hmm.
she said, sure.
Mm.
I give her shit for this to this
as
day.
In like, sure. Yeah, whatever.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, like
I don't have anything else I'm doing
yeah,
this Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, you're an okay pick. Yeah. Like, it was something I made
nice
sure to
try,
let her
pal.
Know. Like, hey, remember when you said,
sure.
Instead of, fuck yeah, I want to be your girl. Like, I was looking for a little more
You guys
enthusiasm.
Are not married yet.
We're not married yet.
At the altar, you can return the
I will not. No chance. So... Because that's, you know,
sure.
No chance.
Yeah, I guess I will.
Wow.
Sure.
If I value my life, if I don't want, if my death certificate doesn't say killed by Jason Callahan for not doing a tour series stamp of Schlitter's Full, it will say killed by my almost wife for staying sure at the altar.
But that's funny though, dude.
Yeah. Like, if you're going, enough, that's the way to go.
If you're looking for laughs,
yeah.
You'll get them.
I would need to make sure everyone's aware of the backstory.
Yeah.
But
just pause the entire ceremony.
Uh-huh. So at
all right,
the,
guys, hold on.
At the rehearsal dinner the night before, you tell that
you
story.
Tell the story. Yes.
And then everyone's primed for it.
We got and you, that's man. How you know who's real because they listened.
All right. I'm taking
this
notes.
Is all
we're
free.
Your, we're
yeah.
Free
advice,
wedding.
By the way.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Planning your wedding.
Welcome.
That's that much less wedding planning I have to do.
Let's get back on track.
Anyhow.
You and Brandon had been spending all this time together. He was an ambassador.
He showed me what a good representative of not only the sport, but of a specific brand can be like and should be like. He was just, you know, he was an adult. You know, he's a father. He was not in there for the competition, but he mm-hmm. was just such a good representative of the sport and the brand that it just spoke volumes to me of the kind of person that I kind of want to be in the game of disc golf. So... when I saw him just kind of putting on that good of a face and that good of a hat, I kind of wanted to follow in those footsteps. So I just started adding a little bit more Discraft to my bag. Down the road, met gentlemen such as the Earhart brothers who were both on the team Discraft. I knew Tom before he got on. Yeah, I don't know if you never heard of those guys, but
Earhart.
I met Tom before he got on Team Discraft. He got on the team because of a nice recommendation from his brother. And, you know, he was known to be a killer putter and a great player.
How long have you known Tom Earhart? Like, give me a year.
I would say Tom and I were introduced back in maybe like 2015. I want to say
in
so. We've known
mind,
each other for six
you guys
years.
Have been holding hands since fifth grade.
No,
my
not,
mind.
Yeah, totally.
No, the only so. All right, backstory. I know Tom because of the fact me, Dan Fairhurst, Ryan Stilson, and John Pallister all went to college together. We all went to Northern Illinois University. We
Go
all
Huskies.
Kind of
could you. Were you like roommates? Did you live together?
Not at all. No, but we just played disc golf.
I'm going to drop the map thing again. Because
map just got bigger.
Yep. Yeah.
So us four had met and John was
wait,
good
what
buddies
dorm? What dorm did you stay in at NIU?
I stayed in Stevenson Hall.
That's the good shit.
Dude, That's where the food hall was.
They got the food court.
All I had to do was go five floors down. I got some chicken tendies, baby.
They got tendies.
Let's go.
They had barbecue chicken, buffalo chicken wraps. I know Stevenson.
Shout out to Stevo.
You know what I used to do at the cafeteria? They had, like, I don't know if Captain Crunch was like in bed with Eastern Illinois or what, but like every flavor of Captain Crunch ever thought of was like always available 24/7. And I would mix together Oops All Berries and wait for it, Peanut Butter Crunch.
Mm.
What? It's PDJ. Like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in
and
a
then
bowl.
You would take it back to your dorm and watch Blue's Clues.
And I would watch Blue's Clues and eat it dry. Topical, and it'd be like,
Dear Diary, today Jason told me about the best thing I've ever heard about.
Why? They have both of those flavors at their ready and they've never thought to put them in the same box? That is insane to me.
Your phone's going to be ringing when this episode
peanut
drops.
Peanut butter and jelly crunch is not a thing. It's beyond me.
This is Susan from General Mills.
Yeah.
This is genius.
We need you.
This is Fred Lang. Lancaster. Thanks for the shout out. We have a great idea.
Jason, this is the captain.
I'm your captain now.
I am your captain now.
Okay, so let's rewind from Captain Crunch to Stevenson, NIU. We're back at you and the homies.
Yes.
Like knowing each other.
I wanted to be on Team Discraft after Am Worlds. Once I realized that I was on the road to becoming a pro, I was like, yeah, that's a brand I would want to be behind. Mm-hmm. So just get it, you know, developing a good friendship with Tom, you know, having that relationship with his older brother, Brian. That's what you kind of need to get on the team is get that recommendation from people already on the team, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way that people like a Bob Giulio or whomever your team manager might be is going to get the idea to look out for you and see what you are doing, not only on the course at tournaments, but from an ambassador side as well.
Sure. On social media and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So Tom, being the good friend that he was, he introduced me to Bob at Ledgestone, that year. And I met Bob, and Bob had just said, "Hey, Dan, I've been, you know, paying attention to what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
How good is
let's
that?"
Have
feel?
A, he said, "Let's have a conversation in a few weeks." And I was just like, "Bruh, we made it. It was
I gotta quit my job.
It was no, that wasn't like that. But it was just like this is cool. This is the first moment in my disc golf career where I have set my sights out for someone or something." And I'm now going to be there. That was a huge, huge goal checked off the list. And I felt incredibly lucky because I chose them and they chose me back. Like we matched on Tinder. So it was sick.
You super liked each other.
We super liked each other. So that was the beginning of it. And that was at Ledgestone in 2018. And
oh, wow. Okay.
So since then it's.
Was that the year that I caddied? No, that was 2019 when we walked with you.
Correct. That was 2019. You guys walked with me. But yeah, just from there, it's been a tremendous growth for myself from, you know, like I said, Sandy Point 2018, my first time there. That was my first tournament as a Team Discraft sponsored player. I was trembling in my freaking boots. I was so nervous just thinking. I had the lead after day one somehow on the long pin course, and I didn't know how. And I couldn't have been more nervous for the lead card the next day. I was
just
playing.
Because of the sponsorship.
Like, yes,
the
absolutely.
Pressure.
Just because I was just like, oh my God, I could get a bonus. Like, hey, everyone that I was staying with, I was like, guys, I could get a bonus. Like I could get you guys all free discs. And I was just like, getting a big
started
head
from
about
the bottom.
It.
Now we're here.
It was awful. It was awful. So it was just like making sure that I took a step back and, you know, remembered like, hey, like
that's keep your feet
great.
On the ground.
Sponsorship is great and everything. But like that can't be the driving force behind why
you still actually have to play.
You have to play and you have to be yourself rather than being someone. You can't be motivated by, you know, you can be motivated by money, but you can't have that be your driving force when you're playing a game like disc golf. It's more so about enjoying yourself, having fun, and just, you know, that's why we all play the game in the first place, is because we enjoy doing it. So the second you start letting ulterior motives or greed come into the back of your mind, that's the second you crumble. I guarantee you every player who's ever been on a stretch, maybe down a world championship or maybe just a small C tier, and they know they have a lead and they're like, oh man, I'm going to make this much money or this is the bonus I'm going to have. That's the second that they turn around and crumble because they're going forward for the wrong reasons.
So much wisdom for you to have that conversation with yourself as a brand new ambassador and having these eyes on you and being in the situation to talk to yourself. You sure no one else said to you, hey, Dan, keep your feet on the ground. This came from internal. You were just like, dude, keep your eyes focused on the right stuff. And like you talked yourself through that.
Yeah, I came from the amateur background where I stayed there longer than I totally could have. I wanted to play some of the major events because I felt like I had a chance to win. Mm-hmm. And that was valuable experience at a higher level. But that's still, you know, in a way, it's still amateur disc golf to where there's nothing on the line other than potential, you know, maybe potential sponsorship down the road. So I think once somebody has that, you know, type of incentive, you know, behind performance or anything like that, you have to have that conversation with yourself to keep your feet on the ground, keep your head level, and just make sure that you're still playing for the right reasons and doing what you're doing for you, for the game, and for your brand that you're representing rather than the money in your pocket or the benefits that could come to you just from, you know, doing well. So that was a big, that was just something I
think learned. That's the recipe for peace of mind of knowing that like you're doing things for the right reason. And when you have that peace of mind, you can then perform because you're not putting the pressure on yourself to chase something.
Totally.
That brings up a word that I shared with you guys not that long ago. It's a Japanese term called ikigai. Everyone laugh. Go ahead if you want to. It's almost pronounced like ikigai, but basically, it's a term that means like what gets you out of bed every day. And I think people who know what their ikigai is end up having greater peace of mind, greater mental health. They're chasing things for the right reasons. And like just knowing like every day, if you don't know why am I going to get out of bed and like give it my all today, if you don't know what that is, life is harder. And that kind of sucks.
For the listeners. He only played M for 2 years. So if you've been playing M for more than 2 years,
get your poop in
order. I've got a rude awakening for you that, according to Dan Schlitter, you've been doing it for too long.
No. I mean it in a way where I should not be a 980 rated player playing MA1. Yeah. So if you're a 980 rated player playing MA1,
you just have to be super good. Come up and play with guys.
Me. Right.
You're just being really that's where I meant more so than the times elapsed in the division. Well, you gave
me, to my question, you gave me the very exact Dan Schlitter response that I would have expected. Yay. And you made me feel dumber for my part two to it being the more specific side of what you didn't talk about, which is like, what does your contract look like? Like, obviously, we know how, like, you just told us how you met with Discraft and led up to the whole thing. What does the contract look like? For the listeners at home that don't know, like, you're sponsored by Discraft. What does that mean? What does it do for you as a player? We talked about it before.
Yeah.
What is expected?
Yeah, what are your responsibilities?
Talk about your responsibilities and what they provide to you. We don't need to get into dollars and all that.
Sure.
But what does it look like for you? The things that people guess and are almost always wrong, and then that becomes hearsay and nonsense. What does it exactly look like?
Sure. I'll give you all the information that I'm legally allowed to.
Yes.
But no.
Are you legally not allowed to say some things?
I know there are some things where it's more so a competition thing between other companies and other brands. And that type of information can just be used for, you know, swaying players from one company or another. So I feel like that's why some of that information is more on the private side, because it's still a competitive market, you know, between all the manufacturers. You see all these names switch companies year in and year out. For one reason or another. So that's why some of that, I would say more of the numerical information is more privileged than say, like, what do they expect me to do? What do I expect of them? You know, that's kind of like the things that I am happy to talk about.
Yeah.
So I would say the things that I would get from Discraft as a sponsored player, if I have any disc needs, if it's a stock disc, I'm able to get that stock disc for no cost. So that's always great.
Like, you just send them Bob an email or whoever and just say, I need these, and they send them to you.
In a nutshell, that's how it goes. I send them a wish list. They send me a box with said wish list, or at least as much as they can fulfill. The nice thing is, I guess,
that should be the bare minimum, though.
It's still so cool. Like,
it is very cool.
Even if it should be the bare minimum.
Please.
I think people assume that. Yeah. But I don't think they know what it looks like.
Right. Yeah.
But when you say discs whatever you want,
it's just so, like this floating thing. Like
there's a difference between I need a new Zeus versus I need a box of Schlitter of good Schlitt stamped discs to fundraise.
Yeah.
You know, you can ask for like a box of discs.
There's a difference. Oh yeah. I can. Yeah. It's a great freedom. Again, I'm so lucky to be able to do it. Cause it's literally like an adult candy store, just being able to be like, I want this and that. And then it shows up. It's like multiple Christmases in a year.
Amazing. So
it truly is amazing.
Yeah.
But from, you know, the coolest thing was I switched over to Discraft. I was talking to Bob and I said, Bob, these are the two discs that are in my bag right now that I'm having a really hard time finding a good Discraft replacement. The End of a Firebird and the Dynamic Discs Justice. I was just like, okay, how do I replace these? Bob sent me a machete. He sent me a 3.0 tracker, which if you guys know about the 3.0 trackers, they are incredibly overstable and slow fairway drivers that were a Ledgestone release. He sent me a bunch of zones, crystal buzz OSs to try and help me find those slots that I had loved and leaned on so much prior to sponsorship to have a seamless transition. That was so cool because I didn't like no allotment, no tracking necessary. He's just like, here you go. Here's a box of 10 discs that you can try, see what you like. And if you like them, then, you know, put them in for your allotment. Otherwise, you know, it's just a matter of, just send an email saying, hey, I need, you know, 10 new putters. So I put with the Challenger OS. I'll say, hey, I need 10 Challenger OSs max weight. Throw in 3 zones, 2 ESP buzzes, and 5 Z forces. And they'll say, yep, here's your tracking number. It'll be there the next day, which is just blows my mind. Or they'll just say, hey, you're going to get some misprints if that's okay, which is always totally cool because they're usually stamped cooler than the originals.
Yeah. Right.
Every
time.
Double
more stamped. Unique. Yeah.
If it's a little dropout, who cares? So it's all, that's always great. Or they'll just say, hey, like we don't have any of this right now, which has been, you know, kind of a common theme over the last year and a half.
Right. Yeah.
How is that? What's that look like? Have you still been able to send those emails or what's the deal with that?
Yes. I mean, the answer is yes. And they've still been really amazing at trying to fulfill everything they can for all the players. And
that's got
to
be a priority.
I would think so.
If there's anybody on the front line.
I would think so. And that, I mean, that's the reason why a lot of these manufacturers during this, during the pandemic are not accepting any new retailers at all because they have such high and constantly increasing demand from not only their original stores and retailers, but their players as well as teams grow larger and sponsorship deals grow larger as well. They kind of need to make players a priority. That's who's throwing their stuff. So
yeah.
So Frisbee wise, they're awesome. Same with the Tour Series stuff. I got promoted to the Tour team last year, and that's when they gave you the freedom. You design your own stamp. Thanks again, Ryan Fancher, of course, for designing the last 2 years.
It was an honor.
I mean, they've just been so much fun to do and sell and just give to whomever is willing to support me because it's a personal moment and a personal touch I get to provide by selling that disc.
Yep.
It only helps me in terms of the funds as well as the fandom too. It's the best way to gain support. And that has been my favorite part of the sponsorship is being able to design a Tour Series disc and get it on a bunch of different molds and sell them myself. I was mentioning it earlier. It's hard work selling them all yourself, but it's so much more worth the relationships you build by doing that more so than just having them sold online or shipping them to people who you may not know.
It's really cool to hear you talk about that because I have never cared much about whose name is on the discs that I throw. But in the last 2 years, I've had 2 instances where I feel it. And right before I throw it, it goes to my head like, I'm about to throw the Dan Schlitter Heat or I'm about to throw the Pat Richard Destroyer. And it makes me so much
like
more excited.
Watching you. Right, like right,
I'm channeling my inner better. Like I'm gonna get the power from Dan on this throw. Like it feels cool to throw a disc from somebody that you're supporting and that you want to see do good. So to hear from you that you have that feeling as well, like that's really cool, man.
It's awesome. I try and sell as many of my Tour Series locally too as I can because I love to see them fly at leagues, tournaments. And just knowing that, you know, those are
local players, Illinois players, friends, club members, you know, people I've been playing with for years, people I've just met. That is my favorite part of it, you know, and like, you know, I love shipping them to whomever is willing to buy one
Don't
in
lie.
Any other state. But
shipping is the
my
worst.
My favorite is when they end up at the shop and they just have sticky notes on them. And then they don't come and pick them up.
Donnie Gill. Go pick up your Thrasher, boy.
Donnie Gill.
Drop that
That's
off
your
six,
favorite, Sean?
6 months ago, bro. 6 months ago.
It's my favorite. No, it's cool. I love it. I love helping you out. But I also love that you love doing it personally because that is the coolest part of everything that you do.
I think it's valuable. It really puts more value on the disc itself when they are throwing it, knowing that they got it from that person rather than buying it from a retailer online or just, you know, getting it third party. It's I think that puts the personal touch that I think all Tour Series discs kind of need.
I don't think I have ever bought a Tour Series disc unless it was in person. Seeing Nate Doss at Bowling Green signing those SportsCenter, you know, top 10 discs, there was never a doubt that I was going to buy that disc. Or seeing Connor O'Reilly at Clash sitting there in the parking lot hawking discs out of Tupperware containers. You bet your ass I'm going to buy one of those.
Every time.
A-Russ, every single time, because he's there and he's talking to you and he's a person and you're connecting.
It's so cool. So I've had moments where I've been like, if I throw the Heat, I'm going to get a little of the Dan magic in the throw, so that's the one I'm going to go with.
Yeah,
the Dagic.
The Dagic.
So next year, we should definitely just, when you get your discs, let's just have like a doubles thing at Delhi where everybody comes out and just buys all your shit in one day, and then it's just all gone.
Yeah, that would be a great idea.
And then you also have a chance to play with Dan Schlitter. Done. We're doing that.
Yeah.
We're doing that.
Sounds good.
Whether you like it or not.
One day. Yeah. You just bring in 100 discs, boom, they're gone.
We're going to call it Danny's Dagic Doubles.
you
it's
mentioned,
happening. We're doing
it. I've been waiting to get back around to this for a little bit. You mentioned back when you were talking, you mentioned a goal that you had. I think the goal was to get sponsored. Like, I know that since then you've said that same thing about something else, and it was you just wanted to play on a lead card at an A tier. I saw that in a video. I think the video that Parker put together.
Yeah.
That video. Tell him thank you right now.
I tell him thank you all. It's Parker.
Bro.
Parker Tatel, you're the man. If I haven't, I've told him 100 times already. He plays Bird Brain. He plays, I see him a lot locally. But yeah, that, I mean, I have no shame in saying I've watched that over 100 times. And it captures the moment and the energy, honestly, better than I can even remember
it. When you screamed, let's go.
Yeah.
He cried and peed.
I cried and peed, dude.
Cried and peed. Yep. A lot of liquid.
I will tell you.
A whole lot of liquid.
All of them.
That sounds wet.
Blood. Nut blood.
So on an incredible, weird coincidence of time and space, we walked into Embers earlier, and at the bar was none other than Brian Cole of the Disc Golf Pro Tour, who had helped us at Clash, but was on tour and just happening to be driving from Vermont to Portland and stopped at Delwood, told no one, and was sitting at the bar in Embers when I walked in. Unbelievable. But the point was, we were talking about Clash because that was our last interaction.
Right.
And he was saying that to date, your win was his most favorite this year.
Come on.
Wow. Because of exactly what you just said, the energy that you can't even remember, the underdog, and all, like, everything came together. He said that, like, not 2 hours ago.
Dude, people like you. People.
It's a thing, man.
I couldn't have had that situation play out any more perfectly to how I would, if you would have said 6 months prior to that event, you're going to run Clash, how would you like to see it end? Exactly that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Exactly that.
100%.
The way that it went down, the fact that it was you, the fact that it was a nail biter, the fact that it was Terry, and there was like energy with Terry leading up to the, there was this whole thing about him not being able to go to Worlds because of his stay situation. It's just this whole thing, and we ended up kind of connecting, and Terry now to me is like a guy where I'm like, whatever you need, I want you to come park your RV at my house. Like, you are seriously cool.
He's awesome.
So to see it go down with him too that way, it was just like, who's got a hold of the strings right now, man? Like, who's perfectly making this happen for this dude who's incredible and totally deserves it and is the guy that would be that guy. Like, you're the guy that would be in that movie about that shit. Like, that's just how it is, man. It's incredible. And it was so cool to be a part of that, man.
So for cool. sure. Yep.
Thank you. It's by far the greatest accomplishment and the greatest entire weekend of not my disc golf career, but pretty much my entire life. I mean, it's amazing too that there's so much video coverage to keep the memory so fresh yeah. and alive that
yeah. and the photos.
I'm gonna go home and watch it now. Damn.
Yeah. yeah. It's cool. I think the cool thing from a disc golf fandom perspective is we just came from Worlds, which arguably the coolest moment
of all time.
Oh, oh yeah. Possible.
Yeah.
Oh, could have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you gave it a run for its money.
It's just like, how do you follow that period? And it was kind of cool to kind of put a little pizzazz and a little spice mm-hmm. into just the whole situation of itself. You know, coming from the chase card, forcing it into a playoff. It was just two variables right there that automatically make it an exciting finish. So was the
next event that people were going to be paying attention to alongside what the Preserve was the same weekend. What was the same weekend?
The Majestic.
Majestic. That was cool that it was so continued that like,
yeah,
the buzz of all of the James stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, cool. So you had a big goal you were chasing originally. It sounds like was to get sponsored.
Yeah.
And then the next big goal was to play on a lead card at an A tier, which you smashed that goal. What's the next big thing you're chasing?
So that was great getting on a lead card at an A tier. I have a bunch of goals that I still have left to set out for myself. I've never played on a lead card at an A tier in the final round. I have yet to do that. I actually, 2 weeks after Clash at the Canyons, I played an A tier up in Madison, Wisconsin called the Mad City Open. After the second round, going into the final round, I found myself tied for fourth on the top of the chase card,
backed
by four strokes.
Mm. Right.
I came back and tied the leader and forced the playoff again. And I was just in my head, I'm just like, here we go again.
Here we go, baby.
Let's do it. If this is how we're going to win A tiers, let's just do it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we didn't win that one, but it let me know, like, I am clearly comfortable coming from behind.
That's what she said.
On the chase card in that situation.
The Schlitter special.
I need to put myself in a position where I'm on that final round lead card. And that's when the pressure is going to leak in even more. I haven't been exposed to that yet. And I want that experience. I cherish that experience to take forward, to be able to live up to that pressure that will come with that, knowing there are people behind you chasing you down rather than being the chaser.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, it'll be a point where the pressure melts away. I'm able to just set the pace myself and not let those chasers behind me even get close. But that's kind of my big goal. I want to be on a lead card at an A tier or higher in the final round, give myself a position in that pressure moment and see how I do. I'm really looking forward to that. Numerical wise, I really want to see my rating go up by one more point before the year is over. I'm at 10-14 right now, and 10-15 has been like a huge dude. Goal. I can smell it. So I know
exactly how I feel. Mine just went from an 851 to an 849.
It's
same thing.
Once you cross that other side of that multiple of five, you just
I could play MA4 again, baby. Oh.
Cue the sad violin noises.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
The Titanic.
Okay. Ryan, you had something you wanted to talk to Dan about.
Yeah. So since we just got done playing a week of Sandy Point, what is your outlook on that course in general? Are you used to a course like that, or is that a whole different experience like it is for us? And what was your strategy?
This is the way I describe Sandy Point. The course itself, it's not going to blow you away with difficulty. It's not going to blow you away with anything other than technical, short score. I mean, it's a scoreable old school course that is a bunch of shorter par threes for the most part that requires you to be in tune with not only your putters off the tee, but your putters going into the basket. Other than that, it's the most magical place on earth because there is the ground. I mean, the way they
like, dude, why is that always the first thing everybody
says? I don't know.
So every time everybody goes, it's the mounds, dude. The mounds and the moss.
The ground. Okay, so I always tell Stu this. I always tell everybody this. But like the way the course looks, how clean it is, how the fact that there's not a leaf on the fairway.
Right?
There's not even like a pine needle on the ground. Like I tell them all the time, I will have a picnic on any one of these fairways. No blanket. Eat my food directly off of the fairways and just know that it's probably cleaner than most restaurants because it is immaculate. I've never seen a course taken care of
and
the way that Sandy Point is.
Exponentially better because they've got some part-time crew there now.
Yes.
Beyond just Mr. Stew.
The young blood.
They got the young blood.
Couple of Adam Hammes' friends.
Dennis and Michael.
Michael?
It's
I was going to say Fred.
Fred.
Yep. Damn it, Jason.
It's just a magical place. Knowing that you're in the region that you are, the Northwoods itself is extremely clean air, extremely clear skies at night.
It hits different up there.
It really does hit different. Mm-hmm. And so the atmosphere combined with the people, you're always around amazing people up there no matter what. If you're there, you know, a random week, if you're there for the Northwoods Open, for the Team Invitational, the people there are next to none. They're just gems of human beings. So just the atmosphere, the people, and, you know, the course is fun. Like, it's not overly challenging. It's as hard as you want to make it.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
But it can
get you.
Yeah, it's a tight technical course for sure. But you can hit a tree and still be putting from circle two on some of these holes.
Oh, yeah.
So it's,
and some of them, if you're putting from circle two, you're stoked.
It's very much so.
By hole 19, it's remember me? Every from the last time. Hole and the one before that one, everyone.
It's still
dude.
Me, baby.
Everyone, dude. Yep. And it just narrows as you look.
Stanley Kubrick's.
The shorts were awesome. They had two separate layouts this year. Shorts were great. I put together 21 birdies out of 27 holes on that.
Ridiculous.
That was awesome. Shout
couldn't
out to the
putter.
Couldn't
even do that with Dubs. You didn't even come close.
I don't want to talk about it.
Good try. Yeah. Good try. No, that was all about putting. I mean, those short pins, you just got to putt. And then the longs, they just got new Discatcher 28s. Sweet. It was fun to play two layouts again. We had a blast as always. I have a big group of friends that goes up there every year. Trip of the year, just like you guys. Mm-hmm. I love it. I look forward to it. I cry on the way home just because I miss Sandy Point already.
Yep.
And it's literally the first week of the off season. I'm thinking about Sandy Point. So if you're thinking about going to Sandy Point ever, just know that this tournament fills in less than 100 seconds. You need to be on it. Mm-hmm. So come on up. It's a blast. You will not regret it. And you
He's
will probably
like a week-long thing. We got to like talk to Mike.
Easily one of the best weekends of the year. And if you haven't been to the Northwoods in general, you're in for a significant treat.
Uh-huh. I'm going for a week
Agreed.
Next year. I don't
Go.
Care.
Do it.
I don't care. Do Liz, it. If you're listening, I'm going for a week. You coming or not?
Yeah. Yes.
That's called putting your foot down, boys. Yeah, take queen. Notes. I had one other thing I wanted to talk about, but I'll save it for later. I'll give you a little teaser, though. We are in the early stages of putting together a proposal for a disc golf course on the north side of Chicago in a forest preserve. And Dane Avicii was saying that you are involved to an extent with Felpro or Rolling Knolls. That's on a forest preserve, right?
Yep, it is.
And he was saying, like, it's a different beast to working with a parks district. The forest preserve is different. So when it comes to maintenance and, like, putting on events and things, there's more stuff you need to know than just your standard course. So I want to talk to you about that later.
Cool.
We don't have time for it now.
Sounds good.
Just know it's coming. Man, want to talk to you about, like, 25 other things, but it's been too long since Jason said anything. So why don't we get into the old mailbag-a-rooney?
Is that because it's...
Mail time.
You can't start at the same time.
Why did you start it?
It goes, there's four of us, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So two
but
people
I, go I
once.
Let it off, so I thought I would give
it. We could try and switch it up.
One
Michael
opportunity to lead into the mailbag.
Start it over. Go ahead.
I don't even want to now.
Just start.
No.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
I never go fourth.
I never go third.
That was weird.
Yeah.
I feel like you and I did the same note, I think.
No, you did the third. I did the fifth. He did like a...
Are you happy now, Jason?
Major seven at nine.
Because I was off. Because I go third. Am I
happy? Yeah. You pretty happy with yourself?
Yeah. Yep.
Good.
Ian Yelton has a question.
Ian Yelton, he moved to North Carolina.
He wants to know, how do you successfully balance practicing, competing, a full-time job, touring locally, running Bird Brain, and on top of everything else you have going on?
Can I answer this?
And you're cute. Yes. And you're cute.
Tell Ian to listen to episode 2 of season 1 because we covered
touché.
That.
Touché.
We got into
You know what? Things have
that.
Changed. He's won an A tier.
Okay.
Yeah,
new man.
Hey, this is
new man. New answer.
This is Dan Schlitter we're talking about here.
New year, new Dan.
The answer is still the same, though. I've always valued an important work-life balance and just making sure you don't get too burned out on one thing. I mean, would I love to play disc golf every minute of every day? Yeah. Would my body? Hell no. Would I have the same passion for the game? Probably not. So I think that it's just important to make sure that you're making time for time off of the things that you do love to make sure you still love them. So that just helps with having, you know, having a good work-life balance, making sure I'm not putting all my eggs into one particular basket. Disc golf is a great stress reliever for work. Work's a great time to get my mind somewhat off of disc golf, but I'm always thinking about disc golf while I'm working.
Well, I like the way you think about that. Yeah.
It's just been important to kind of have a good work-life balance, and that's the best answer to that question. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, but that's kind of what keeps you hungry to learn new things and keep adding to your plate, because that's how you figure out what it is you want to continue doing that makes you happy for the rest of your life. So
I remember you also talked about priorities too, where like, yeah, I might need to practice right now, but I also have a job to do, and I can't get fired so that I can practice. So that's how I make that decision today. I'm going to work, and then I can look at the next priority.
Things have definitely changed in the disc golf world, though, since I last answered that question regarding the possibility of a career in the sport of disc golf.
Oh, so yeah.
Can't ever dismiss that.
Oh,
maybe I can. Maybe I can get fired.
You hear that, employer?
No.
You played 19 events this year.
Okay.
Could you play less local, still keep your job, hit the pro tour, and do both job and pro tour? Forget all the local stuff. Forget all bird brains. Like, is that a thing for you? Could you like cut back on the stuff that you do other than playing and commit to playing? Like, is that ever something that you think about?
Yeah, for sure. I think about it a lot. But I guess, yeah, so ignoring all the local things, I guess, would I be ignoring
all
my,
the fun Dan Schlitter is just...
Would I ignore the fact player? That I have a 15-year relationship as well?
But still, like, if you could fly out and hit all the spots.
Yeah,
and, like,
I would do it for sure. If I had the ability to 100% work remotely and do that, I would I would for sure do that. Right. I would go to as many stops as I potentially could, especially because if I have any aspirations of making it to, like, the Discraft Elite Team, I would need to be present at a certain amount of big tour stops. So that's a thing for sure. It would be fun. I would love to do that for sure. And I would, if I had the opportunity to balance work and be able to work remotely like that and travel back and forth, then heck yeah, you would find me at all the wooded forest or wooded
all
forested,
the woods.
Pro tour stops, mostly out east. I wouldn't want to go out west too much, except for De La. De La looks sick.
Next question. Parker Tytel.
Ooh, topical,
right?
Hello.
Dan, if you were to film an In the Bag video, what disc would you show that not many other people carry? And what slot does that fill in your bag?
Good question. I think the disc in my bag that not many people carry is probably, I mean, it's a DGA disc, but it's the Hellfire. A lot of people throw the Raptor. A lot of people throw the Machete. It's similar for that Firebird type slot, but it's better than all of those. The DGA Hellfire, it's a 10-speed, really overstable fairway driver. I throw it mostly for forehands, flex shots, really overstable shots that I need to punch right with a sidearm, or if I need to throw something stally that just drops to the ground with a backhand, I will be throwing the Hellfire with that too. So the Hellfire by DGA. Molded by Discraft, though, so it's not illegal
still
for me to throw.
Still counts.
I can throw it.
Correct. Still counts.
Nice. Next question comes from Luke Hainwell? Hanawell?
I believe you.
One of those.
H-A-N-E-W-A-L-L.
He's awesome.
The Instagram.
The Instagram account.
So rank the following of how you would want people to know you.
Ooh.
Great TD. Great player. Great card mate, great person.
Great lover. Add that to the list.
Yeah, that's the five. We're going to round it off.
Yeah, great lover.
Here we go.
So what?
TD
player,
card mate, card person, lover. Which one would you
pick? Michael!
Which one would you marry?
I would say, I mean, great person has to be first because you can't be a great anything else, I don't think, unless you're a great person.
Called it.
Then not every ambassador is necessarily a TD, so I would go great person, great player, great card mate, great TD. Not that I don't value being a great TD, but I think you know, I'm going to be on more people's cards than I am going to run tournaments. And I think that's when you, you know, you're spending 3 hours plus with that person. That's a lot of time that you're spending with another person or another three people or however many people are on your card. So that's really valuable to me to make the most of that experience and leave a good impression, because if you don't, guess who's not going to be looking forward to playing with you the next time they see that you're on their card? Mm-hmm. You never want to be that guy. So got to be a great person. I take a lot of pride in being a great player. I work, you know, work hard to do that. But then at the same time, TD can, while I like being a great TD, that will take a backseat to the other three, I would say.
Next question comes to us from Clayton Robert. He wants to know, when you stick your tongue out in your putting routine, is that to help you focus? Or is that some leftover peanut butter you're trying to reach on your cheek?
It's the peanut butter.
So if you haven't watched...
Wait, hold on. Before you answer that, chunky or smooth?
When I was a kid, smooth. Uh-huh. Now that I'm a grown-ass man, smooth.
Smooth.
Smooth. Are we going Jif every time? Come on, we know Peter Pan shit. We're going Jif, right?
Generic's cool with me.
Oh my God.
I'm on a budget, bro.
He's too, on a budget,
I got
bro.
I got student loans, my guy.
I got a budget too, but there's certain things you don't skimp on in life, and peanut butter's one of them. Back to your tongue.
Back to your tongue.
So if you have not seen, especially that round one GK video at Clash of my putting routine on Delwood hole 16.
The Nicolas Cage face.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. The memes were great.
I think.
That's so great.
So I have diagnosed the issue. It's completely drummer face from when I played drums growing up as a teenager. Mm-hmm. I would make faces all the time. Mm-hmm. So going into just extreme moments of focus, my face muscles lose control. And
is it like a deep breath in through the nose? And it's like a,
it's through a lot of holes.
Get in it.
It's through a lot of holes. Because when I exhale that deep breath, my eyes get really wide and it's like, it's scary to look at, like looking at myself. So I can only imagine. So, to answer your question,
I can't wait to put that in the album.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, it's great.
It's good.
It's going in the album.
Yeah.
Yeah. No peanut butter. It's just,
you have a game face, dude.
Focus.
Game face.
Focus, Daniel-san. We're going back to ranking. You ready?
Sounds good.
Rank these: waffles, French toast, pancakes, and let us know why.
French toast first, waffles second, pancakes third.
Oh, my man.
Absolutely, 100% across the board correct.
Yes. Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah.
That was a Trevor Scott question. That's what I was looking at. I just wanted to give him the shout.
I didn't know that was...
Which one did you say again? Say it again.
I said French toast first, waffles second, pancakes third.
Absolutely correct. Right.
And like, 100%. That makes me feel really awesome that I'm not alone on this. Because,
well, it's four against one.
Alex is shaking his head.
Right out the goddamn door. You just lost.
Are you a pancake? You're a pancakes guy?
Tell us.
It's waffles and then pancakes, and French toast shouldn't even be in the conversation.
Oh, right. We are.
Because they're soggy.
Man, you need to come over on Sunday and they'll make some French toast and change your mind.
Yeah. I haven't had French toast since I was like 10.
French toast when you were 10, dude.
Say that again about my mother.
I make it all the time, and I crave it. Dude, it's so good.
Yeah. I would love for us to get together for a breakfast.
What's your mama's recipe?
I don't know. There's powdered sugar. I know that.
Okay. All right.
But they just, it's always like soggy. Ew.
No.
No.
Nah.
What?
Nah.
No.
I'm sorry to hear this because you haven't had the appropriate French toast experience.
That's correct.
I'm going to lean on a past interaction that you and I've had where you saw the light eventually.
You're not changing my mind on this. I have an army behind me.
They're going to bring up old shit.
I grew up, I'm happy to admit when I'm wrong, but this is a situation where, you know, I will admit, I saw this question ahead of time, and I mean, the thought came to me like that, but French toast, waffles, pancakes, why would you think anything else?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Next question.
Yeah.
Oh,
for real.
The discussion is over.
Sorry, Mom.
Let's get back on track. It's time for a serious question from Nathan Hess. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Quantity over quality. So I'm going with the one horse-sized duck.
Yeah, you want one-on-one.
All it takes is one kick to the beak. That bitch is flying away.
You're done.
No.
It takes one stab
from that horse-sized beak and you're gone.
Horse-sized, no.
Do you know how fragile you are?
What am I going to do with 100 duck-sized horses?
Kick them. Duck bill came and hit you in
the
side
of this table,
it would shatter.
Duck bill to your skull?
Like glass.
to your skull.
Am I equipped with your weapons?
No. All
right,
so
here's the thing. You get one disc to defend yourself with.
Yeah.
So 100 duck-sized horses. That's still 100 horsepower. That's more than I can handle. That's
no,
more.
It's not.
I can just kicking them.
Yeah.
They're duck-sized, man.
But they're horses. Dude.
You just kick them.
You go to the emergency room for getting stung by... You go to the emergency room for getting stung by 10 bees. What if I got bucked by 100 duck-sized horses?
Man. Nah, ducks are small, dude.
Yeah.
You can handle it.
Michael.
So are bees. I don't know. I'm going to have to go with one duck-sized... One horse-sized duck? One duck-sized duck would be the preferred answer, but...
Now
I have to rank your bad opinions. I don't know if the hot dog thing is number one or the French toast thing or the duck thing is number one.
Come on now.
Yeah, this guy.
Talking about how bees can't hurt you. Tell that to Thomas J.
Oh, he can't see without his glasses.
My girl.
He needs his glasses.
All right, next question is coming from Ryan Stilson. He wants to know, who is your favorite person other than yourself in the Goon Platoon?
Now, back up. Now, is this the boys from Northern?
Yes, plus Tom Earhart.
So... It's you, Stilson, Dan Fairhurst, Tom Earhart, and who else?
John Pallister.
John Pallister. Johnny Pallister.
Yeah, Stilson is my favorite. If you look at the discs in my bag, most of them have my name on it, but there's one in particular, and it was the one I threw off the tee for the playoff hole at Clash. And on the top rim is Ryan Stilson and his phone number. That has obviously cemented him to the top because he gave me a disc that has... led me to big success. So they're all my favorite, but Ryan Stilson, I have to say his name since he asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Ryan Stilson because he gave me a disc one time.
Shout out to Ryan for consistently asking questions that he is the answer to. He has done this multiple times before.
Ryan
great
Stilson
strategy.
Yeah.
Walks into the room, laughs at the scenario like it's the beginning of a sitcom.
Yeah.
Every time That's I true. See him.
Zach Vinwall has a question. When playing a tournament round and your game is not at its best, what's one thing you do to tell yourself to stay motivated and finish the round strong?
So it's taken me lots of time to come to this.
That's what she said.
But it's a matter of taking a deep breath, looking at your surroundings, realizing you're out in a park or in nature playing disc golf for money. That's an awesome situation to be in. And it's super fun what we're doing. So if the game's not there, if you're not playing the best, at least make the most of the experience. And more times than not, you'll start playing a lot better once you just kind of let go of the expectations and just kind of let things happen rather than try and force them. So I think just kind of just relaxing, even though it may be hard to, it may be stressful knowing that you're not shooting your best. Let it happen. Let it happen. Take a deep breath and make your card mates round enjoyable for you and not miserable for your bad play. So I would just say, just be fun to be around, even if you're playing way more disc golf than you want to, because that's usually the medicine to not only you playing better, but your card mates playing better, which will just, it's contagious. You'll start playing better once you see everybody else take advantage of you being
the first chuckle that gets everybody like,
Yeah.
And you could laugh at yourself. Laugh at yourself. Don't be demoralizing or don't be hard on yourself, but like you can laugh. You know, it's okay to smile when things aren't going your way. Once you remember that, that's when you realize why you're out on the course playing that tournament in the first place. So, if you're not your best, just deep breath, take a step back, enjoy the ride, let the suckiness happen, and hopefully it'll turn over.
Glad you brought up stress because we're going to come back to that.
Actually, that's the last question, so we can go right into
that
if you want. Yeah.
You're not going to do my question?
Oh, just ask him the question, Alex. You know you want
I
to.
Wanted all of us to answer it.
All right, hold on. I don't remember how you worded it. The last question. Alex Seminary has a question. He wants to know, what's something for which you would definitely be in the top three out of a random 100 people?
Not disc golf. That's not the cool answer.
Yeah.
Something that you either do really well or have about you that you know, if I took a random 100 people from anywhere in the U.S., age 18 to 65, you're definitely in the top three.
I would put like anything regarding musicianship, I would say I would qualify for sure.
Damn.
I like to consider myself a very good drummer for sure. I play drums. I play drums well, but I play a lot of other things too. I taught myself
guitar, a little bit of piano, and just kind of fell in love with music when I was a teenager. So I would say if you took me...
That's a super cool answer.
It's a skill other than just being an athlete or something like that, that I feel like, you know, maybe every 3 out of 100 people might do, period, right, rather exactly. than
You know
being
why he gave that answer? Because he knows numbers and he's like...
He did the stats.
Yeah, I crunched the numbers.
Yeah. I definitely know
I fit the
that
criteria.
I would be, yes.
Yeah,
all right, Jason, what's your answer?
Oh, God. I don't know. I got to think about it. Save me for last.
You've got to be in the top three for like general pop culture knowledge or like theme songs. No, like you know theme songs
okay.
better than anybody.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. So I do that. Like I've spent a lifetime absorbing random trivia and it all finds its way into conversations and makes its way out. So I do like when a conversation comes up and I'm like, actually, did you know? And blah, blah, blah. And like give
actually?
That juicy little nugget of information that nobody had. Yeah.
Sean,
I like to be known.
What's
for that.
Your thing?
Top three.
Actually, Sheila, what's Sean's thing?
Being
annoying.
Oh,
got it. I was definitely going to say something negative too, but like probably top three of thinking everything that you do is awkward all the time.
Everything that I do?
Me.
Oh.
Everything I do.
I was like, damn, dog. I just got attacked out of
like
nowhere.
Like being worried about everything that you do, just constantly like, ugh. High anxiety.
You think you're one of the most anxious people?
Yeah, probably.
That's crazy to hear. Damn. Very humble answer, though, because you do a lot of cool shit. Brian? I love doing it every
Brian.
Hey,
Brian.
Brian?
You finished that novel yet?
Brian.
Where's my money, man? Where's my money?
He hits him for a long time.
It's too long. Man, that's a great question. I was also going to say... musicianship. That's what I studied in college. I have a degree in it. I've not been practicing it for a long time, but I felt like at one point understanding the composition and the math behind the music and things like that. So that would probably be my answer.
Cool.
Alex, are you going to answer?
Super Smash Brothers on Nintendo 64.
Oh my God. Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm probably in the top 3 out of 1 million random people.
Oh, damn. Wow. I think that was a challenge.
No, not for me. I hate that game.
No, I've never played.
If anybody brings a Nintendo 64 and that game and 2 controllers to Delwood, I will take the day off work to be there and play you, and I will bet you any disc golf related item that I own with confidence.
Wow.
We will do that during the doubles tournament that we do to get rid of all of his tour series discs in 2022.
Dope.
Danny at the same Sandrick. Time, we'll make that Dope. All happen. Yep.
And please don't come to me with any of these newer Brawl, Wii, GameCube. I'm talking... N64
OG.
Sticks. OG. Yeah. That's it.
Challenge.
All right, is that it?
That's it.
There is a segment that we've been enjoying quite a bit, but I don't think we have time
Speak
for it today.
For yourself.
Or maybe I could just do it really quick. It's time for a real quick version of the rub.
Just give me a quick
rub. A rub down.
Just a very quick
just a
rub.
Quick rub.
Dan, are you familiar with the rub?
I'm not. Rub me.
Wow. That enthusiasm is special.
Rub me the right way.
Yeah, rub me the right way.
The rub is it's a segment where we change the energy. We bring it down a little bit. And we want to get into a very peaceful and, a zen state
Alex,
of mind.
Alex, bring it down to like an
bring
ASMR
it down.
Level.
Jason likes when I bring it way down.
Way down.
Ryan, not so much a fan of the segment. You know who is a fan? Paul Macbeth.
Everyone else.
Everybody seems to enjoy this, and it's really just about getting out of your head and treating yourself to peace of mind.
The train that's
the beautiful thing that's happening
southbound.
Right. We can
that's
hear
perfect timing.
There's a train coming right now that's gonna destroy this segment.
Possibly the building. We don't know. I'm not sure if it's that timeline, Dan. I don't think it is.
It doesn't. We don't have to think about that. We just need to think about when you've had a hard week, you need to recover. You need to get your mind right. You need to treat yourself to get back to your normal 100% Dan. What kind of things do you like to do to get yourself right? Like, how do you really treat yourself? Son of a bitch.
Let's wait it out.
There it is.
And there it goes.
Okay. Now we're back.
Just like tension in your shoulders.
What do you do to relieve tension and treat yourself?
This is a really personal question.
Bring it down.
First of all, need a
nap. Give me a nap. Sleepy time. If I can make time for a nap. But no, my big secret is making sure I get in the shower. And I'm going to stay in that shower for 20, 30 minutes. Mm. And you know what I'm going to do?
Waste all the hot water.
Besides waste the hot water.
Run up that water bill.
Water bill's high. No, I'm going to grab my soap
detachable
bar.
Shower.
I'm going to grab the soap. And that soap bar is going to be extremely slick. Exfoliating.
Oh.
And I'm going to drive that soap bar
straight between your cheeks.
The dry skin cells that I just created from all the disc golf abrasion.
Oh.
Everywhere.
Exfoliation.
Exfoliation.
We haven't talked a lot about exfoliation before, but yeah, that's definitely treating yourself. And
he saves money from the peanut butter so that he can apply it to the water bill.
I just think
when the water bill is like $75 a month,
right?
He's got it covered.
Can we talk about that? do you guys use washcloths?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is
of course
that a wrap on the rub? You just
we'll get.
We'll get back.
Okay, we'll come back.
Don't worry, I think there was plenty.
Well, just to fill you in, Dan, and we're going to get back to Jason's washcloth question, but The Rub is a segment that's sponsored by Luxor Escape. That's a massage and wellness business ran by Alex Nieves.
Oh, Circle yes. One.
She is a licensed professional massage therapist in the Tinley Park area. She does really good work, and her message is about wellness and treating yourself and taking care of yourself and, you know, finding peace of mind. And that's why we like to take a little bit of time on every episode to find out how people bring themselves peace of mind.
I sent her a message earlier today to book an appointment.
Oh. Stop it. I swear to God. Stop.
I just friend requested her on Facebook. I saw your video from
Call
when
Lauren.
You went.
Somebody, Sheila.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Call
and I
Lauren.
Was just like, why haven't I done this? I absolutely believe in giving back to the disc golf community and supporting any businesses that are within our clubs or within our immediate mm-hmm. tournament groups or anything like that. And who doesn't want a massage?
If you've never had one, you have no
idea
what you're missing.
I've never had one.
Anyway, washcloths. Let's get back to that.
Okay.
Do you guys use washcloths?
Thank you, Alex, for sponsoring The Rub. Let's bring the energy back up. Jason, go ahead. Hit me with that question.
Washcloths. This is like a thing. Some people use them, some people don't. I thought everybody had them in their house. I know people use a different one every day. That blew my mind.
That's insane.
Where are we at on washcloths? What's the shower routine?
What about a loofah?
Is that all right?
You ain't a grown man using a loofah, are you?
Hell yeah. They're awesome.
Jesus. Oh, man. The loofah's a game changer.
They're great.
Yeah, loofahs are cool. I just use
loofers?
Loofers.
Loofers.
Loofers are cool. Loofers.
Loofers.
I just evolved away
those
from
things,
loofahs, actually. Now I just use a bar of
unless
soap.
Unless you pour
soap.
Alcohol
just
on
soap.
Them are just
Neither
balls of bacteria.
That's right. No, you just replace the loofah like every month.
That's a lot
so
of
So that's where you're at. You're a loofah?
I was until just like a month ago. I bought some, I think it's Dial, mm-hmm. and it has like exfoliating like chips in mm-hmm. the soap. Mm-hmm. So I love the feeling of that just like scrubbing the shit out of my skin. So that's,
your bar
I'm just
skin.
A bar of soap and no, nothing else.
Okay. Right.
Loofah.
Loofah.
They're great.
Shower gel.
Sure.
Yeah. Sean.
Washcloth.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Bronner's.
Dr. Bronner's. Thank you. Washcloth. Dr. Bronner's. It's the right way to take a shower, gentlemen. Learn something. Okay. And where are you at? Oh, you already discussed
stay
it.
Woke. Yeah,
I'm
right.
with Alex.
Stay woke now.
Bar of soap to skin.
Bar of soap to skin.
You ever used Dr. Bronner's?
Dr. Bronner's.
I haven't stay used Dr. Woke. Bronner's.
Yo.
Go get Dr. Bronner's. Look me in my eyes. The next time you go to the, where do you go? Target?
Mm-hmm.
Go Target. Dr. Bronner's.
Dr. Bronner's. Mm-hmm.
It's a bigger bottle of like.
Pure Castile soap.
Castile soap.
It's body wash.
Try it.
It's
lavender.
Everything. You can do your.
Bro?
You can Come do on. Your dishes with it. You could do your laundry with it. It's your shampoo. It's everything. You can.
Dr. Brown.
I want to resurrect a segment that has been gone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The trivia portion of the night.
Oh, shit.
I don't think you have anything planned, but we're doing it. Planned. You better figure it out.
Well, that's. Oh, you're talking about the Jesus. Trivia portion of the night. That one?
And then,
Michael.
Trivia portion of the night.
So tonight's question is going to be with regards to birthplaces. There's five of us here in the room. Three of us were born in Illinois, and two were not. The question tonight is to identify of the five people that have been on tonight's podcast, which two were not born in the state of Illinois.
And the tiebreaker is mm-hmm. where.
Is where. Yeah, yeah. We'll go with that. And if we end up with a tie.
There will probably be ties. So make sure you include your guess of what state
yep.
those people were born in.
Yep.
And if you get it correct.
Yep.
You're going to win
a free version of Perfect Putt 360. Perfect Putt 360 is a putting practice app designed to mimic tournament-type pressure in a game that makes putting practice fun. Download Perfect Putt 360 today on the App Store and Google Play. Wait for it! Hashtag
every putt counts. Booyah! And for the pendant moment of this episode, I'm not going to ask what anyone else thinks because I know the correct answer is Frank Lancaster.
It was Fred Lancaster, man.
Fred Lancaster was the pendant moment of this episode. Thank you, discgolfpins.com.
I hope you're listening, Fred. I hope you're a real person. I hope you're shitting your pants with us saying your name over and over again on the podcast.
Thank you, Nina. And you guys go check out discgolfpins.com for all your pin-related needs.
Please do that.
Now, it's a wrap on the episode. Is there something you want to say, Sean?
No.
Then that's
laughing
it.
Laughing at Jason, laughing at your pen hitting your water bottle.
You hit the water bottle like the buzzer, perfect. Like, you're like, that's the end of it. Ta-ding!
And after this sound, yes. Yeah. In fact, this is we Fred are Lancaster
this is signing Fred off. Lancaster signing off. Thank you to Mr. Dan Schlitter. Thank you, Mr. Dan Schlitter, for joining us for another really fun episode. Always a treat to be in your company. So much great insight and just a lot of fun. So thank you for being here.
Always great to be here.
Guys, this was a lot of fun. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. It's a wrap on the episode.
Yeah.
We'll see you. What we got? We got episode 13 and 14. So we probably got two more guests.
Dos más.
And then episode 15 is the review of the season.
Yeah.
So we're coming to the end, guys. Stick around. We got a couple more bangers coming for sure.
Bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash. And until next
time. Oh, can we switch the meat and potatoes to the bangers and mash?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Great idea.
Next time.
Until next time, guys. Keep it tight.
See ya.
We'll see ya on another time.
Later, Jobin.
Good night.
Adios.
Listen to Unstable Discourse on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or right from Buzzsprout.com. And if you have the time, leave us a rating and review. It helps the podcast get to more listeners.
Unstable Discourse is a top secret studios production.
You're just kicking them. They're duck size, man.